Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, March 19th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Newcastle County, Delaware woman is accused of faking her own abduction. Police say 40-year-old Danette Hurt told her boyfriend she had been kidnapped in Delaware City on March 9th. Her boyfriend called 911. Several police agencies joined in on the search. She was found about 90 miles later behind Opequinamink High School. She allegedly told police she was taken against her will as she left a restaurant. As the investigation continued, police say they determined the story was fake and that she had was faking her own abduction. Hurt is now facing charges for filing a false report. No word on why she would fake her own abduction.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, very bizarre. Police in Montgomery County are cracking down on aggressive drivers, from texting to tailgating, from swerving to speeding. Police are watching for aggressive drivers on the roads. More than a dozen drivers got pulled over yesterday and ticketed along Route 202. Upper Marion Police were among dozens of other Philly area departments trying to reduce crashes and traffic deaths on state highways. Upper Marion Township Police Lieutenant Jeff Maurer says, "We are looking for aggressive drivers, speeding, texting and driving, failure to signal, speeding through work zones and bus stops." Uh-huh. Police in 64 Philly area jurisdictions are taking part.
Yeah, I would love to know, to get behind the mind of somebody who finds the need to swerve in and out of traffic when traffic is...
You're not going anywhere faster.
I think it is an expression. It is some way of channeling other anger or something they have in the day, because... so many, 99% of the time, this person is weaving and dodging and on your ass, you're right next to them at the stoplight.
Right.
It doesn't matter. They don't get any further for all their aggressive driving.
I believe that there is a personality type that, and some people are just a-hole drivers. That's all there is to it. But some people almost feel as if they are in a race and have to be passing. You know what I mean? I think you're right.
And Preston, this would be the person,
like a compulsion,
who before the light turns green starts driving through the intersection.
Yeah.
This would be the person who darts right and to get around stop signs.
Yeah.
They've got it figured out. The entire road system is a big game of Tetris.
We have a luxury because of the time that we drive.
Yes.
You get up super duper early. One of the good things is you don't have traffic to deal with. And within like the past 2 weeks, you know what I've been doing? I've been putting on my cruise control.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm just like, I'm almost like Forrest Gump. You know, one less thing. Yeah. I just don't have to worry about that
anymore.
Right,
I stick it
on the speed that I want, and that's just, I don't have to think about it
anymore. But we've got weavers and swervers this early in the morning.
Sure. Well, oh, my God, yes.
There's a whole other series of things to worry about. Who's coming back from a bar? Why are you out all night?
Yeah.
I'm sure the people in the car next to me are like, who's this? What's
going
on with this story?
Right.
And I'm looking at them, who are these people?
But I'm sort of an in-between, you know? Like, if there is an open road, I like to go a little bit faster.
I've seen you drive. You drive fast.
Yeah. But I'm not an aggressive driver. I don't go up on people's asses. I don't weave in and out. But when I'm coming, like, let's say I go down City Line Avenue and the speed limit is 35, and you got two people driving right next to each other.
Come on.
At 35 miles
Come
per
on.
Hour.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I'm aware of your surroundings.
I'm glad they're, you know, at least in that area, cracking down a little bit, especially with the people on their phone. It is so wild how many times a day I see people just literally holding it up right in front of their face.
How long has that been a crime?
Just driving along.
How long has it been?
It's so obvious.
You can tell. I was on the Blue Route yesterday. I was following somebody and they were going like a little bit slower than, you know, they probably should have been, and like not swerving out of their lane, but kind of swerving in their lane. And sure enough, when I pulled up next to him, guy had his cell phone out, but you can tell.
Yeah. I saw some guy writing on a typewriter. It was just crazy.
My goodness.
What is this big Underwood typewriter? Right. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Having to manually move the
manually
carriage across.
Manually moving the carriage, hitting the blinker.
Yeah.
So last year, more than 50,000 tickets were issued during this crackdown, and they're back at it again. Apple is rolling...
No, sorry. I was a little late with that.
That's right. I mean, you should have this playing in your car if you're going to text when you're driving.
Great. Yes.
It's a nuisance.
Difficult.
It's dangerous. Okay. Okay.
Don't type and drive.
Apple is rolling out a new version of its iPad. The company says the new iPad Air is thinner and slightly larger than its current entry-level model.
This is great news for me, Kathy, because I just bought one.
Wait, you just bought one and now
I just bought the Pro and they're releasing this one.
Okay.
But that's the game you play with tech all the time anyway. So.
Yeah, but the Pro is still a better device.
There we go.
Right? You know,
I win.
We still have the Generation 1. My daughter uses it.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Do you have the mini or the regular iPad?
Mini. Just the original first one that came out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It didn't come in a mini. Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, does it bug you when you get when something new comes out and you already have the older one?
No, actually, this one was to replace the one that blew up in England. So I needed it for the trip to it.
It's not like it's bad tech. It's just not the newest thing.
Yeah, rule of thumb, though, whenever you buy what you buy, if you can buy it, buy the best with the most storage because at least it'll be the current model for another 4 days.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I still think you're better off, Steve, with what you purchase, but let's see. Okay, so the new device will have a screen that measures 10.5 inches diagonally compared to the standard 9.7-inch iPad. The new model costs $499, while the smaller size will sell for $329. Now, Apple has a higher-end Pro model starting at $999.
So that's what I got.
That's what you got, yeah. The new iPad Air has several features found in older Pro models, but not the latest. For instance, the iPad Air has a home button with a fingerprint sensor, while the latest Pro ditches that to make more room for the screen.
You know, you need to get for Preston. Caroline is a good artist. And an iPad Pro with the new stylus and everything for painting and drawing, it's top level.
Just $1,000.
Just
$1,000.
Maybe the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What is this?
That's
why are all my bottom teeth missing?
She's got like three loose teeth right now. So.
You extract all her lower teeth while she's asleep.
Apple is also refreshing the 7.9-inch iPad mini for the first time in more than 3 years. That model will cost $399.
Well, also, there's news, and they're not sure whether this is a big rumor, whether Apple will introduce the foldable phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we're going back. We're going back in time.
It's what they are floating is a different sort of design than just the little shell that clips over where your actual iPhone basically would fold in half.
Fold in half.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like it that.
Yeah. I think I might like that too.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers, who have won four straight games, are back in action tonight with a game in Charlotte against the Hornets. The Sixers are still in third place in the Eastern Conference, a game and a half ahead of the Indiana Pacers and 2.5 games up on the Boston Celtics, who both lost last night. The Sixers are also 4.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors for second. Tip-off tonight is set for 7 o'clock. The Flyers will look to keep their slim playoff hopes alive tonight when they host one of the teams ahead of them, the Montreal Canadiens. With only 10 games remaining in the regular season, the Flyers are 3 points behind the Canadiens and 6 points back of the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. Game time is also set for 7 o'clock tonight. At the end of last summer, the Phillies were in the middle of a 9-game losing streak when the team's former first baseman, Carlos Santana, and two teammates spent portions of the game against the Atlanta Braves playing video games in the clubhouse. Santana grabbed a bat, went back into the room at Citizens Bank Park where the gaming took place. Pretty much, and smashed the TV to make sure that there would be no more Fortnite in the final 2 days of the season. Santana told ESPN, "I see a couple of players play video games during the game. We come and lose too many games, and I feel like they weren't worried about it, weren't respecting their teammates or coaches or staff or front office." When discussing the incident with ESPN, Phil's manager Gabe Kapler said, "Our clubhouse chemistry was great when we were winning. When we were losing and fading out of the playoff race, everyone was frustrated and searching for answers." And that's what happened for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome you to a Tuesday with the Preston and Steve Show. Reminder that we have a trip for four to the premiere of the movie Shazam in Hollywood. That's for our Word of the Week prize. So don't miss out on that, please. We'd love to give that to you. We have a couple of guests on the program. For the first time ever, we will have an emotional support alligator in our studio today.
All the rage, replacing the teacup poodle.
I wonder if it's the world's first emotional support alligator, but a guy named Joey Henney is going to be bringing Wally, the emotional support alligator, by our studio this morning.
So did you read a little bit of the bio on this guy?
He's
also
a
master craftsman.
Yeah.
Built a 300-gallon tank for this thing.
Okay.
And he loves this freaking gator.
It, right?
He, like, hugs him and kisses him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So we'll meet both Wally and Joey later on this morning. We also have from NBC 10 stopping by Rosemary Connors with a cause that is close to Kathy's heart. It's Foster Care Phone Bank is taking place today. And families who are interested in learning more about providing foster care can certainly do that. So we'll find out what all is involved in that when Rosemary stops by today. And tomorrow being the first day of spring, it's time for Rita's Water Ice to get in.
Yes.
So Rita's is coming by today. I'll double check and see if they have some giveaways for you. They usually do. So, yep. In fact, I just got word. So we'll make sure that we give those away. And speaking of giveaways, anything that I can give away right now?
Yes.
As or do a you
matter,
want me to wait?
Well, I don't. Listen, man.
You know?
It's your show. You do what you want.
Your name is on the plaque behind you.
You know what?
There.
Why don't you mention this real quick?
Okay.
While
oh,
I figure
yeah, yeah.
out what I want to give away.
It's tattoos. I was thinking the Alexis Texas.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Give away Alexis Texas.
No, not Alexis Texas. Tickets to see Alexis Texas. But I want to remind you today is Tattoo Tuesday as well, and I'll tell you how you can go about winning a free tattoo from the Preston and Steve show. But first, I want to give away some Clubber Escape passes because Alexis Texas is in town this week. She'll be at the Philadelphia location on Friday on Columbus Boulevard. Let's take three callers, 215-263-WMMR. You have to be at least 21 years of age to enter. So this is going to be on Friday night. I don't have the time here, but we'll see if we can work that
out. I think it's an early bird special at 2 o'clock afternoon
that
show.
It is? Yeah, all right. 215-263-WMMR. Visit clubrisque.com for all the information on the three Club Risque appearances this Thursday through Saturday. So we'll get you on board for that. Now, speaking of Tattoos Day, if you would like to win a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo to go get a Preston and Steve tattoo, then text the word tattoo to 39333. We will pick a random texter later on and give that away. And you will be headed to the world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo Parlor at 621 South 4th Street on or in South Philly. And you can get tattooed by the area's top artists like Troy Temple. Troy's one of the best. You can see his work on Instagram at Troy Temple or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So there's all that for today. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. And stories from the world of entertainment as we begin this Tuesday, as well as a stupid question, more giveaways. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHateStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's ask you a stupid question and see if you can win some tickets to see Dane Cook at the Met on Saturday, March 30th. So the question I have for you this morning is, what year was the first Bonnaroo Music Festival?
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. You ever been in that case?
No. Bonnaroo, you know, and I won't anymore. I probably should have gone in the earlier days when it was more
Marissa went,
speed.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Claire went as well.
Bonnaroo was jam band, right?
It used to be.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, some jam bands will play there, but it's more...
It's far more eclectic.
It's just like the rest of them, right. Which is fine.
All right, so I'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for the answer. What year was the first Bonnaroo Music Festival? Bruce Willis's birthday today on March 19th. Bruce is celebrating his 64th birthday today.
And I voted for him to play me in the Doppelganger MMR movie.
That's right.
And I finally got it through. I mean, Michael Chiklis I'm fine with, but I was... hoping for Bruce Willis.
And there you go. 64, so one more year and he can retire officially, right?
Yeah.
65, or is it 64? 64 and a half.
Honestly, Preston, I hope he's put some money away.
Yeah, please.
Hope he's put some money away.
So happy birthday to Bruce. Glenn Close. Everybody thought she was going to win an Oscar this year.
That was the odds-on favorite, but no.
Yeah.
Has she ever won?
Good question. She's been nominated.
She is the most nominated actress to never have won. I saw that as a trivia right before the Oscars. And, yeah, she's never won, Steve.
She's like a Susan Lucci, right?
Yeah.
Susan Lucci finally won.
Yeah, she won. She was nominated for Garp, for Big Chill, The Natural, Fatal Attraction.
She's excellent in Garp.
She is.
She is the mother in Garp that you is hyper and you simultaneously hate her and love her.
Yep. Agreed. And you know what else I liked her in was Air Force One. She's the vice president. She has to kind of assume control temporarily.
Or Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy. She's great. Another, you know. Presidential
character. Yeah.
She is 72 today. Ursula Andress, Steve.
For Honey Rider, the first Bond girl.
Very first Bond girl with Dr. No. That's right. She's 83 today. Sirhan Sirhan, the assassin of Robert F. Kennedy, is 75 years old. Last year, I read an article about the busboy at the hotel, and you know, he was there basically holding Robert Kennedy's head and trying to comfort him while he passed away, and he was just it was a very interesting read. It haunted him his entire life.
How would it not? And also, there was also a peripheral story that goes with that, Preston. There were a number of people who, when they started to talk to survivors and people, you know, years and years after, a guy who happened to be in the hallway who thought, in his mind, if I had asked for an autograph, if I had delayed it a second. So there's like 50 people who think if they had done something, they could have saved Robert Kennedy's life. Yep.
Great bass player, quite possibly the best ever. Billy Sheehan is 66 years old today. Man, if you look up some videos of that guy, really, you can't believe.
Even I know who he is.
How amazing he is. He's a Scientologist, though.
Is he?
I pulled up an interview. Yeah, I found out he was a Scientologist, and I pulled up an interview.
How to prepare horseshoe crabs?
It was somebody who was essentially asking about Scientology, and he really believes it, and he's not on the... He's just one of the followers. And his and I saw his sincere responses were like, look, it's just what I believe, and the reason that there's all this secrecy is we believe that if you are told these things, that it's dangerous for you because you don't follow what we follow. And he actually believes it.
If his life is good, and he's, again, if whatever.
I don't think he's a bad person.
Yeah.
But I think he's just one of those that's kind of brainwashed.
There are a few of them. There are a few of them in Hollywood. Like Kirstie Alley's one of those people.
Sheehan joined in 1971. So,
wow.
So he's made it to this point.
Lifelong. So he's 66. Amazing bass player. Oh, and look whose birthday it is today. It's Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, my God.
Birthday. Yeah. Haven't heard his name in the news in a couple of weeks.
He's fighting for his legal life. Absolutely.
So, I mean, what's happening? What is, like, the latest? Do we know?
They said, you know, it was a big mistake.
Go ahead.
I don't know what the latest...
Hey, you big slob. Come here. Give me a hug.
I'm not sure what the latest is on his legal issues. But there is
some sort of lawsuit still continuing.
Multiple. Right. And they're you know, he has a good defense team who's punching some holes and stuff. But he has so many. You know, allegations against him that it'll be a while before he ever gets out of this.
He is 67 today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What year was the first Bonnaroo Music Festival? And let's go to Diane. Hey, Diane.
Hi.
Hi, Diane. Do you know what year the first Bonnaroo Music Festival was?
2002.
You are correct.
Really? Wow, that... I did not realize that.
Yep. 2002. Did you think it had been around longer or shorter? Yeah.
I thought it was around longer, too.
So, Diane, hang on. We got a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook at the Met on Saturday, March 30th. Some tickets remain. Go to Ticketmaster.com. We're going to begin with Amy Schumer. Amy is getting personal in her new Netflix special called Amy Schumer Growing. According to multiple reports, 37-year-old talks pregnancy and marriage, and in the process reveals an interesting fact. Her husband, Chris Fisher, is on the autism spectrum.
So that's for real?
Yeah.
Huh.
She tells the Chicago crowd in the special, I knew from the beginning that my husband's brain was a little bit different than mine, and I have to start this over because I really want to get this right because I love him very much. She said, my husband was diagnosed with what used to be called Asperger's. He has autism spectrum disorder. He's on the spectrum, and there were signs early on. Before telling the story about how her husband reacted abnormally to her falling down during a walk together, she goes into it and says 9 out of 10 people would go, oh, my God, are you okay? maybe more like 10 out of 10 people. Instead, my husband kind of froze and became a lighthouse, opening and closing his mouth. And I remember lying on the ground looking up at him, and I wasn't mad, and I just thought, huh, she says. And she said, there's a lot of huh moments, you know? Once he was diagnosed, she said, it dawned on me how funny it was, because all of the characteristics that make it clear that he's on the spectrum are all of the reasons that I fell madly in love with him.
So was he was recently diagnosed?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, wow.
I guess he went most of his life, and for some reason they said, let's check this out. But she said, that's the truth. He says whatever is on his mind. He keeps it so real. He doesn't care about social norms. Or what you'd expect him to say or do. If I say to him, like, does this look like crap? He'll go, yeah, you have a lot of other clothes. Why don't you wear those? But he can also make me feel more beautiful than anyone who ever has in my whole life. And he can't lie. Isn't that a dream man, she says. So her Netflix special comes out today, by the way.
I think I want to see that then.
I do, too.
Yeah.
So very interesting. So Amy Schumer, Growing.
And kudos to her.
Is available. Yep.
On that.
Paris Jackson is being encouraged by people very close to her to go to rehab, but she's resisting, according to TMZ. Sources familiar with the situation say those close to Paris suggest rehab after what law enforcement says was a suicide attempt over the weekend, landing her in the hospital. The attempting suicide, TMZ is told, shows some serious underlying problems. They say Paris is dealing with all sorts of emotional issues as well as substance abuse issues. A source says that her team had help ready to spring into action on Sunday, but she refused. Now, this is according to TMZ. I'm not going to report this as, you know, absolute certainty,
no,
but they said she slit her wrist.
I haven't heard anything else.
And was rushed to a hospital early Saturday morning where she was placed on a temporary 5150 hold. TMZ was told she's been distraught ever since Leaving Neverland began airing. So that's according to TMZ. That's the only time I've heard anything mentioned about this. So take it with a grain of salt.
No! Yeah, I think more sources or news sources would have picked up on that.
As to why Paris was released just hours after she was hospitalized, sources say that she was told the hospital that had admitted her that her lawyers were taking her to UCLA Medical Center and the hospital let her go with the attorneys, but she never ended up at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Paris is almost 21. She's an adult, and therefore the decision to check into rehab is hers and hers alone.
You know who you're not hearing about? And just in general, the son, Prince.
Blanket, yeah.
Is that Prince and
There's
Blanket?
There's two of them,
yeah,
right?
Prince and Blanket.
Prince and Blanket.
There were three kids?
There's Throw Pillow, so. Prince, Blanket,
okay,
and I think Vase.
And Bidet.
And Bidet.
Yeah.
No,
I
approve of that one.
Michael Jackson was, by the way, sexually attracted to women.
Goddamn right.
According to his former bodyguard, who says that he and the King of Pop shared lots of locker room talk.
Oh, man, I'm so horny. I could really go for some crotch opening that women have.
Crotch opening that women have?
I'm so horny.
You don't remember the name?
It's what that hole that the women have down there that's got the hair on it. Man, I needs me some.
Oh, my God.
Sort of, it's like a hole. It's, it looks like pursed lips.
With, oh, my God.
With like fur or something. I needs me some. I really need some. What is that? It's like a line. Almost looks like a cut, but like with an extra layer of cut around it. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of looks like a hatchet wound. A little bit.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
You need some.
Yeah,
of that.
With like a little right. hawk on top of it.
Little what?
And there's a little. I don't know. Is it like a Mentos at the top?
Like a Tic Tac.
Like a Tic Tac. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mentos would be pretty big.
Oh, it needs me some.
Maybe a weightlifter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I need it now, bad. Like that.
Bill Whitfield.
Yeah.
Michael's ex-security guard for 2 years who wrote a book about
Billy Boy, let's talk bitches.
About his time when Michael insisted in a new interview on a podcast called Hidden Truth Show that his client was absolutely heterosexual, saying that they discussed ladies plenty of times.
Oh, man.
Specifically.
And you flip them over and you're... Oh. There's that part where the poop will come back.
Specifically, Bill says they talked about women that Michael found very attractive during long drives that they'd take together. Bill even gets into a short story about a college girl they approached in the street once, adding that a bashful Michael copped her number and talked to her at least twice. Yeah, like Michael would just walk up to some random
Absolutely.
Person in the road.
Got her jeejies. She was right near an old boys' school.
But was it just talk, or did Michael actually hook up with any women on Bill's watch? Bill says mm-hmm. that he isn't going to put Michael's private sex life out there.
Don't worry.
But he assures that MJ did spend time with women privately, leaving it at that.
If you watch Leaving Neverland, they make a compelling case, however, whatever you believe, that Michael was as devious and complex as to make sure he had deflections like this. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. people would think this stuff, you know?
The interview comes on the heels of the allegations made by Wade Robson and James Safechuck in the Leaving Neverland documentary, which all but suggests that Michael would exclusively prey.
Man, I need me some badger. Beaver.
On young male victims. This is him describing breasts.
No.
It's not working.
It would be great if it worked. They're okay. Brand new. No, whatever.
It's a line from 40-year-old
It's like sacks of sand. Oh, man. It's like sand. There's like points on them, like erasers. And then you go down where the pee-pee would be. There's the It's like a start where you would put mail.
Okay. Like where you put mail?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Bill claims that...
Oh, I need it.
Bill claims that he knows that it's not true about the young male victims. As you might know, Michael was once married to Lisa Marie Presley and had two kids with his second bride, Debbie Rowe. His third kid, Blanket, was conceived via a surrogate.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for sticking. By the way, how are your sons?
Part two of the interview with Bill will be dropping soon, so we'll see if there's any more revealed than that.
All right. Yeah.
Dwayne Rock Johnson.
Celebrated
the world
He's
over
a bro.
For his strength. So it's not a shock that the 1st Armored Division at Fort Bliss decided to name a tank after him.
That would be so cool.
They announced the move in a tweet. It said, "If you smell what America's Tank Division is cooking, shout out to the Iron Soldiers assigned to the Black Hawk Squadron for naming one of their tanks in homage of the Rock. Hopefully the People's Champ will see it and give you guys a shout out and a retweet," is what they posted. And then on Friday, he gave him a shout out on Instagram. He wrote, "I'm sending a salute of respect and gratitude to the Black Hawk Squadron 1st Armored Division for the honor of naming their tank the most advanced in the world, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Heavy duty, badass, sexy AF, and built to take care of business. But most importantly, thank you all for your service. Grateful to the bone."
Have you ever been inside a tank? Or inside of a tank?
No, I would love to. I've been in a submarine. I've been in a couple of things, but a tank, dude.
I would love that. I'd love to be in a tank that was moving.
Fort Dix, are you listening?
Yes. Any tank rides available?
How about an invite?
Yeah. That'd
be pretty cool.
Where were you in a sub at?
A couple of them.
Yeah, yeah. So there was one, where was that?
Baltimore?
No, it wasn't in Baltimore. Maybe St. Louis used to have one, but it was one of those old decommissioned ones, really kind of small that you could tour. Didn't there used to be one,
There was one
the
here.
The Bacuna.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think I went to the one in the Inner Harbor.
Is it the Bacuna? Is that the name of it?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was one on the Delaware.
Delaware, yeah.
But I never went in that one.
The New Jersey used to be on the Philadelphia side, right?
No.
No,
when it came up the river, they docked it right where it
Remember, Case? We went out there. Did you go out there with us?
Yeah, we were in a speedboat with some listeners.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I actually have a picture of that, by the way. I came across pictures of that.
But... Yeah, it was coming down the River Preston. That was a blast. You see that thing underway.
Yep, they towed it.
Was it underway or they were towing it? Yeah.
Well, what ship was on the Philadelphia side for a hot minute? Because I was in that one.
Oh. Yes, we went. It was like a,
it was a battleship, right?
No, it wasn't a battleship. It was like a frigate or something like that, smaller than a battleship. And we did go down and tour it. They were stationed and they invited us to come, and that was pretty damn cool too. But it wasn't a submarine. All right. Anyhow, as of Monday, the image received 2 million plus likes and thousands of comments, by the way. Former Disney star, this follow-up story, Kyle Massey is vehemently denying allegations he sent sexually explicit photos to a 13-year-old girl, claiming that the lawsuit against him is a clear and simple case of extortion. Mm-hmm. The That So Raven star is being sued by a teenage girl who claims he sent her images of his anatomy along with sexually explicit text messages. She's suing for $1.5 million. His lawyer, Lee Hutton, tells TMZ his client couldn't be clearer. No child should ever be exposed to sexually explicit materials, and I unequivocally and categorically deny all alleged misconduct. Kyle says that it's just a money grab. He claims earlier this year that accusers' legal team demanded $1.5 million, threatening to go public to destroy his career if he did not comply. He says his client told the accuser to, quote, pound sand.
I like that.
Pound sand.
So
I don't know.
He's denying it all.
He's definitely very vigorously, you know, denying it.
Khloe Kardashian is clearing rumors up that she's unhappy with her ex-boyfriend Tristan Thompson's parenting style. Of course, they famously split when he got busted cheating on her. She hit up Twitter in the wake of reports that she's, quote, extremely upset with Tristan. And this is all I have. She just wrote, he is a good dad to her.
That's basically it.
My sweet and special baby True will never be put in the middle of him and I can promise that.
Here's her typing on the keyboard. Someone has sent a tweet out to her saying that she's, you know, don't let him get to her and blah, 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 blah.
Right, right, right.
And while she sort of, you know, said thank you for your kindness, regardless of that, regardless of the cheating, he is a good dad.
Right.
I don't believe that, but she's saying it.
You don't believe he's a good dad?
You know, do you think he's around? Do you think? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, it's tough. For a couple of different reasons, you know, and I'm not judging anybody's parenting style whatsoever, but A, he is in the NBA, so he's not around
That's what I'm thinking.
Begin with.
Not that you couldn't be in the NBA, but someone who has proven themselves, well, when she was in the hospital, or she's giving birth,
right.
Wasn't he with two tub girls?
Right.
I don't know.
Speaking of tubs, Mama June. Maybe facing
a hell of a segue.
I'm always
that
looking for
that. Was a segue.
Always looking for it. Maybe facing heart. Thank you. Thank you very much. King of the segues. Mama June may be facing hard time after getting arrested for crack cocaine, the Blast reports.
What's she looking at?
Officials in Alabama are telling the Blast that she was arrested after an alleged domestic dispute between Mama June and boyfriend Gino Doak. She's facing felony possession of a controlled substance, which may entail 1 year behind bars. A date for her arraignment has not yet been set. So.
This Gino Doak makes Joey Buttafuoco look like David Niven.
You're right.
I mean, just, you know, exactly what you would expect. And her, in her current weight loss stage, has what appears to be a neck vagina.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
This is before she lost the weight, but there is a bizarre.
Michael find that
oh,
hot?
Oh, God, it's awesome. It's like a, you know, ladies, it's like an opening. It's
the
like
fold.
And they got one on their necks, apparently.
Right.
You know, if I just want to whip it out.
So anyhow, we'll follow this story.
Man.
Another day.
Neck vagina.
Another.
You got a neck opening. Tricky out of me, love.
Shaman. Another day, another development in the epic college admission scandal.
I'm waiting for the Netflix special on all this.
The latest has Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, failing to even fill out her own application to the University of Southern California.
Man. What's my name, Mom?
You know what? That's
It's Olivia. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a standard thing. People don't fill out their own applications.
What?
Yeah.
That was like the first, you know, first step in the door was get filling out your application.
I filled out mine.
I remember my mom telling me, you know, because you'd have to send away for them and get them in the mail and we would wait
for
them
to come. To submit it.
You had to pay to submit it. Oh, absolutely.
You have to pay to submit it. But I you know, it's funny. I was
Who filled out yours?
You know what? I don't know. Okay. I say there is a great chance that my mom filled it out for me. There's another great chance that she wrote the essay for me. I don't even.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, cutie pie, Snugglebug.
I remember my essay was terrible, and they were basically like, "Yeah, no, your writing stinks. So you need to come to college to learn how to write."
I would. I know that I will be along the lines of, "You are moving to into adulthood, and it is time to do things like this for yourself."
Sure.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
you're going to college.
That's how my parents positioned it. It was, you know, you needed to do this and get yourself into college.
Dad, could you write it for me?
People report.
Now, once I got there, I had somebody do my project.
Of course you did, yes. I mean, once you're in.
Professor Smithers, I don't know how to do it.
Shut up.
People reports that court documents show that Laughlin admitted in emails that Jade didn't fill out her applications. Jade, who has lost out on several high-profile modeling contracts in the wake of the scandal, is reportedly withdrawing from the school.
Preston, I wonder if while she was at college, she just thought her parents put her in a different room.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Did you adopt a whole bunch of kids? You're in college now. I wondered what USC was.
I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday or not, but Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio gave fans a glimpse of the new project Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's just a poster.
I like it.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. The pair is a star in Quentin Tarantino's take on the 1969 Hollywood during the Manson era. I don't think they quite look 1969-ish.
I'm thinking 70s.
They almost look current. I mean, the hairstyles, and they look too, you know what I mean?
Well, he's like wearing...
The late 60s and early 70s were, you know, everybody looked bad, I think, fashion-wise.
Yeah.
Right.
He's wearing a Champion spark plug, Brad Pitt is,
shirt on top of it.
DiCaprio is wearing what I would classify as sort of a disco-looking leather jacket.
Yeah, maybe. But anyhow, the film is going to be opening in July from Quentin Tarantino, and this will be the last appearance from 90210.
Luke Perry.
So
Preston, just on a tangent here. Those leather jackets, those disco leather jackets. I went to a college with a guy who's clearly was mob connected, and so one day he shows up and goes, "Zoom. I got some jackets in my trunk."
Oh, really?
And there were about 100 of those jackets.
They fell off a truck, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like I found them in a field.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, maybe you know this because he was Leonardo DiCaprio ended up on my Twitter feed yesterday.
Okay.
And I guess a story had come out about how he was banging somebody, some sort of model, but left his Apple AirPods in. And so somebody was commenting on that and saying, like, if this story about Leonardo is true.
I hadn't heard this. So he was having sex but left his
AirPods in. And they were like,
you're getting there.
Yeah.
Your pods are in all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Well, no, AirPods. The jobbers, they stay in better than AirPods. AirPods would just fall right out.
They'd fall right out. Any kind of movement.
Speaking of jackets, as we were just a moment ago, winter is still coming, at least to a John Varvatos store near you. In anticipation of the final season of Game of Thrones, which premieres April 14th, luxury menswear designer Varvatos has launched a new 11-piece capsule collection of pieces inspired by the swan song of HBO's hit show.
Are you going to get any sort of... I know you have some collectibles, but like Sideshow, that makes a lot of the stuff that I collect, has some really good Game of Thrones stuff.
I don't... I'm not an action figure or guy, but...
Toys are fun.
But I have considered, you know, I mean, I have some shirts and things like that. And, you know, and I like props like swords and stuff like that.
Yeah. So they have stuff like that. Yeah. Or the dragon eggs.
Yeah. I did have a couple of those dragons. I might still have one. But about half of the line is comprised of rugged armor-like pieces for the wannabe Jon Snow. Think hand-painted leather jackets, which top out at about $2,700. Or distressed Henleys and trousers in cool shades of gray. A range of more wallet-friendly graphic tees are at about $98 a pop. There are more obvious Game of Thrones references sprinkled in and around.
I think something you would enjoy, Preston, is you know, going to places in Iceland where they were shooting it. And, you know, and I don't know where else. And I think Northern Ireland or parts of Ireland had a lot of the sets.
Claire was at, my wife was, I forget exactly where she was. It was
Portugal? Did she go to Portugal?
Give me some other locations because
I think they shot some in the Azores. Like they are the I would love to be the set or what is it, the scout locator.
Yeah.
So Nick, wherever she was, there were three castle-ish locations that Game of Thrones either used or took the images of to CGI or whatever. So
yeah, they film all over the world and it's it's pretty awesome. Jordan Peele has long spoken of the key role that music plays in his work, particularly in his new film, Us, and the film-music connection more generally. Jordan, this is according to Universal EVP of Digital Marketing, Doug Neal. He said Jordan has such a visionary approach to the interplay between music and film, celebrating his voice and vision on Spotify, which reflects culture through every stream, made perfect sense as we looked to build excitement around the release of this incredible film. So beginning March 18th, the Oscar winner took over the Spotify TV and Movies Hub with a 1 hour and 50 minute playlist. So it runs through theatrical releases of Us. The playlist will run through the theatrical release of Us. So I guess this is music he's using in that
movie. In the
movie?
Yeah. They're in fact, in the trailer, they're showing the trailer right now. They're singing a song, The Family in the Car. This, I think right now, Preston, on Rotten Tomatoes, is at 100%.
Oh, my God.
I think he's got another Get Out.
Which, that one was at 100%, yeah, if you remember,
right,
as well.
So. I mean, this is his calling.
Yeah, he really, I mean, you know, especially a guy who's mainly known as comedy.
Yeah.
To go down and have success in this genre, in the suspense and horror genre, is pretty impressive.
When he was here in the studio, we started talking horror movies. This was before Get Out came out. And we were geeking out on all these different movies. I mean, he loves, that's why he's doing The Twilight Zone. He loves this stuff.
Yep, exactly. Is our system working?
I don't think
so. What's going on here?
Okay. Well, Marissa was sending these things over to
our audio editor. By the way, for me to interrupt for just a moment is not really working. So normally, like the clips and so forth, aren't coming up. So we might have a clipless entertainment report.
I do have some clips if you need them, Preston. You just I'll play a clip and then you can say whatever you have pertaining to the clip itself. I assume you have some copy.
No, we have clips. I just you're just going to play them on the Zeta.
You have Miley Cyrus breaking down.
Oh no, not tribute. That clip.
I was going to play a different audio clip, and I was going to get to the actual clips. But don't
Should
worry
be
about
short
it.
Clip.
Is
yeah.
Okay. All right. Then there you go. That's her breaking down.
You're going.
How about we go to this story, and then I'll see if we can get to that. Following the death of Love Island's Mike Thalassatis. Or Thalassitis, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name. British Health Minister Matt Hancock is calling for broadcasters and media producers to do more to support the mental health of reality TV contestants.
It is a crisis.
Thalassitis died over the weekend and is just the latest reality star to reportedly die by suicide.
How many more reality stars are we going to lose to mental illness?
Well, I mean, what sucks about it is you're a TV star. You don't have any money. So, like, fame without money has got to be very, very difficult.
Well, the minister said, I am very worried about the support for mental health for contestants on TV, reality TV shows. The sudden exposure to massive fame, I suppose, can have significant impacts on people. And I think that it is a duty on any organization that is putting people in the position of making them famous overnight that they should also look after them afterwards.
And there's to Parliament. Who shall take care of Honey Boo Boo?
He said, I think that
people... Who shall help Scott Disick in times of trouble?
I said, I think that people need to...
Bethany Frankel, Lisa Vanderpump.
Take responsibility for their duties to people's
welfare. Caitlin!
Very seriously. Okay. Can we play the Miley Cyrus clip?
It is not over yet.
Breaking down during a tribute to a late voice singer.
Yeah, this was, I guess, when Miley Cyrus was like a coach on the show for a little bit.
Okay.
And we don't have the clip.
And we don't have the clip.
The climp?
No. Unfortunately, I mean, it's just not... Okay. Oh, wait, yeah, we do have it. I'm sorry. It just takes a little while for things to come over. So
I gotcha.
All the clips that you guys want for today are over now officially.
Yay!
Here we go.
I just want to clear up a rumor. I was never her coach. Ever. She was always mine. I learned more from her than anyone that I've ever gotten the honor to be in the room with, not just vocally. I should have gotten more lessons than I did, but she taught me everything that I know about love. I had planned on singing a song for her, but just losing her is just too much for me. But I'll always be your sister, and I'm here for you, and I'm here for your family. And Janice, I'll miss you more than I could ever.
Definitely moved.
Janice Freeman was her name. How did she die?
Blood clot.
I know nothing about this.
Blood clot out of nowhere. Killed her. Oh, and so she obviously impacted. You can see that obviously she's legitimately distraught there. But it sort of rocked the voice. The show's huge, apparently they became fast friends.
Yeah, she was on her team in season 13. Nick just pulled up. So she died from a combined complications of lupus and a bronchial infection, it says here. So, wow, that's sad. All right, I'm ready for the regular clips now. Last month, cast members of The Village, NBC's new show about the diverse residents of one New York City apartment building, stopped by the studio. It finally debuts tonight, and in this clip, producer and writer Mike Daniels explains what really draws the audience into the show.
Ultimately, people are here for you, you know, and I think it's a very diverse group, age-wise, ethnicity-wise. If people watch the show and realize, I want to live in that building with these people, and then realize that building really isn't different than my block or my building or my school.
The Village premieres tonight, 10 o'clock, NBC. Next clip. The Act is a retelling of the Stranger Than Fiction true crime story that made headlines in 2015 when 24-year-old Gypsy Rose Blanchard murdered her overprotective mom, Dee Dee.
Wow.
I don't remember this. Here, Joey King envisions what it will be like for the real Gypsy Rose to watch the series from prison. Here we go.
I was thinking, like, what if she sees it one day? Like, I think it'll be really, really hard for her to watch. I think it'll be hard for them to watch other people play them, number one. And also, like, this is like reliving your truth. And so I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Good editing. I'd say the time compression. Yeah. That's called a time compression. So, dude, that sounds disgusting. Ew.
Sound like me.
Sounds like Nick.
Yeah,
eating.
Eating. Oh, Nick's eating again.
Yeah, that's mine. Let me own that. Could you hook me up with this, too?
The Act.
I'm afraid I'm missing out on the fallout.
The Act premieres. premieres today on Hulu, by the way. All right, and there you go.
Do you remember? I think Preston, yeah, to continue, but I think she was the mother who was exploiting the daughter, saying she had cancer when she did not. I think this is the story that we're talking about.
A long time,
My God, yeah. And the daughter played it off.
Yes.
Because she was raised that way.
Right.
And ended up killing her mother.
That's the story.
I believe that's the story. That was really, really wild.
Yeah.
Bizarre on many, many levels. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And she would live in this wheelchair even though she didn't need it.
Had her head shaved and the whole thing.
All right. So this is going to be on Who's Lou?
Yeah.
Who's Lou? Yes. That's on Who's Lou.
I get it.
You got a rim shot for your joke?
Yeah. No, I don't because it was so good it doesn't need a rim shot.
It doesn't even need it. How about that? All right. And there you go.
Sells itself.
That's what I have in entertainment this morning. Why don't we take a break? Because we got to get ready for an alligator coming into our studio this morning. Wally, the emotional support alligator, got to be the only one in the world, is going to be coming by this morning. His owner, Joey's going to be bringing him. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Interesting story from the Phillies camp. We just got back from spring training, of course.
Yes.
So we spent a little time with Gabe Kapler and some of the other members of the team. We didn't hear this story, though, because it took place last season, late in the season. And, Nick, you're a little more savvy on the details, but apparently it was during the last part of the season where it didn't really count.
Well, they fell apart. I mean, the Phils were in first place in August, and then they lost 9 straight. And so when any time that something like that happens, frustration happens in the locker room. And so there was this veteran player that we actually asked Matt Klentak on Friday. Matt Klentak's the general manager, and he said he was a great guy. They were sad to trade him. His name is Carlos Santana, not the rock star, but the first baseman. And I think Carlos, who was this veteran presence in the locker room, got really tired of little distractions that were happening. And one of those distractions, apparently, was that there were two guys who were playing Fortnite back in the locker room during a game. So they're in the middle of this losing streak. Things aren't going well. They'd been in first place, and now it's looking like it's going to be a crappy end of the season, and he lost his mind.
So there's a lot of guys on a baseball team, and you can kind of, you know, linger in and out of the locker room if you're not playing at the time, I think, from the dugout to the locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
So and no indication as who these two guys were, though, right?
He said specifically he was not going to name names.
Okay.
But you got to assume that they're starting pitchers, right? Or somebody who wasn't going to play.
Well, because... You know, but who knows? We don't know the names, but he thought it was disrespectful to the fact that you're in this. You still have to keep your mind in it. They were distracted by this video game.
So they're playing Fortnite.
Yeah, which makes me assume that they're young.
Yeah, I would think so. So Fortnite in the locker room. Which I'm surprised they even have a game system set up in the locker room.
Yeah.
Is this from Fortnite?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like when the dancing.
Oh, yeah.
They have like dance off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this one is like.
Casey's doing almost like a Running Man type of move. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
They all have all sorts of different Fortnite dances.
Right.
And you can buy them.
So. So they're playing, and he, what I heard was he took a bat.
He goes into the video room where they were playing. So they were using the video system where they, you know, they study tape and learn about other players and pitchers and whatever else. And he takes a bat back to the video room and decides no more Fortnite and smashes the televisions.
Wow.
At least three TVs.
Wow.
Yeah. So you heard three TVs. I'd heard just the one. So three TVs makes it even cooler.
Yes. And his quote, Steve, I think he said something to the effect that I took out multiple televisions.
Now, Kapler says he doesn't recall or had not heard of this happening, but he understands why this might have happened.
Yeah. I can kind of understand that. Listen, I can't think of specifics, but I know in my career in broadcasting that I've come in and when it's work time and I've seen people, when we've got a job to do, we're effing around, I've gotten that pissed off where I'm like, I can't believe you are kidding me. We're on the clock right now. We've got to get work done. We'll do that crap later on. But I can't stand that.
It drives me crazy, especially since, you know, when you do creative visualization, when you're in the moment, when you're psychologically, you know, people say, listen, we get where we fall in the pecking order. But in the morning when you listen, you hope you want us to be up and ready and ready to do what we do. Mm-hmm. And anything that distracts from that or is a detraction pisses me off as well.
Yeah.
So you can understand this. Here they are where they're you know, everybody's, I'm sure a lot of them are bonused for per win deals. And he goes in and sees this going on. It's like, your mind isn't in the right place here.
Right. Well, I mean, I've heard of this happening in different ways in the world of baseball. It was just like a year or two ago where we were finding out that the pitchers were just drinking in the clubhouse because it was their day off. And, you know, all right, we're going to duck back to the locker room on a, you know, slam a couple of beers or whatever, because I'm not going to be playing anyway. So I don't see much of a difference here. It's like, well, I'm not really playing,
but here's a different question. How about this? Is it the fact that they were so bored with their professional career, baseball, and during a game, or is it that Fortnite is so damn addictive that they couldn't stay away from it?
Might Those are two, both.
Two legit both. Questions.
You know?
Two legit questions.
I have never played Fortnite. I purposely didn't get caught up in it, and I'm not big into that type of game anyway, but there are some people that the draw is just way too much, and it's almost an addiction.
Well, I sent you over, there's a breakdown, and there's stats on that sheet, Preston. How many people play Fortnite?
Okay.
200 million.
200 million people play Fortnite.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of other facts. Yeah, it is a very addictive game. However, I've said to you, you've been a gamer for a long time, as have I.
Mm-hmm.
There are games that are similar that I like better. So to me, it's an entry level. And one thing that is a big attraction to it is that it allows some cross-platform play.
Okay.
So that increases the size.
Here's some stats for you. Peak number of Fortnite concurrent players. The most playing at one time was 10.7 million people.
10.7 million people.
Yeah. The biggest,
in the world or in the country?
I don't know.
I think in the country.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Then you have biggest month in the terms of Fortnite player count was September 2018. There were 78.3 million players. Average amount of time a Fortnite player spends with the game per week, 6 to 10 hours.
6 to 10 hours.
Wow. Fortnite revenue in 2018, $2.4 billion.
Oh, man.
Number of countries Fortnite topped the iTunes chart in, 13. Reported amount of Fortnite made in its that it made in its first 3 days was $1.5 million. So immediately it took right off. Let's see. Number of times Fortnite has been downloaded on the Nintendo Switch, 2 million. What else we have?
Is that the only place you can play it on Nintendo Switch?
No. You can play it on Nintendo, Xbox.
Well, these guys were playing it on TVs.
Yeah.
So there was, and Steve, I read it was three televisions that were touch interactive, 86-inch TVs, and as you would imagine, state of the art, high def, the whole nine. I wonder if Carlos Santana was financially responsible for the damage that he caused.
He might very well. I'm sorry, they're playing it on. It wasn't a game system. It was on a TV app.
No. He means on a TV monitor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kathy was asking about what game system it was on.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
The Switch, PlayStation, Xbox. There's a couple of them. So, but again, what this does allow, there are some issues between PlayStation and Xbox, which is what you call cross-platform playing. But you can play other, you know, you can have a PlayStation and play somebody on a Nintendo Switch.
Is there like an app too for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there are apps, yes.
That you could get on your phone?
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, it was iOS. There was a stat on here that the number of times Fortnite has been downloaded on iOS, 82.6 million times.
Right, so you can play it on an iPhone.
Yes, on your phone, you can, I guess, right?
Yeah, because I thought for a while you can only play it on Samsung phones or...
So you can literally play it everywhere.
Yeah, my son plays on his iPhone.
This is a mind-blowing stat here, Preston, at the bottom. Percentage of Fortnite players that are aged 18 to 24, 60%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's, okay. It's right in that sweet demo.
I think it's really neat. And I've played it a couple of times, and I'm just no good at those games, so I don't get into it that way. But, I mean, for what it is, I think it's really, really cool. Like, you know, like my son is there in his living room, hanging out with his friends.
Let me ask you, and I know you've talked about this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever entertained the notion of bringing a baseball bat into the living room? Because we've talked about this, using it for discipline and all that stuff. You know, I think it's a similar dynamic here.
He just got his privileges back over the weekend.
I would bring a baseball bat in if Jace was playing this game, because he is the type of kid who wouldn't put it down. And
okay.
It would be
okay.
An argument and a fight to put it away and turn it off, so I would absolutely take a baseball bat to the TV.
Yeah, sure. Let's hear your stories when you've had to go to great lengths to end someone from playing Fortnite. I'm going to go to Jake. Hi, Jake. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going? So last year on a college football team I was playing on, we had an issue with guys right before practice. I mean, 2 minutes before practice would start, still trying to finish a game of Fortnite. And this was right before preseason, so luckily we kind of made a team rule. I mean, captains got involved. We had to say, you know, 15 minutes before our practice starts, no one's playing.
Okay.
And that was a big problem.
No kidding.
So the edict went down that nobody plays.
What was that?
He said the edict came down, nobody plays the game.
Yeah, I mean, nobody, for practice at least.
All right.
A receiver who was, the offense is hard, and before practice, you should kind of look over stuff or stretching at least, you know, and he just didn't want to put it down. So it was a team rule. It worked out fine.
Yeah, but you said it was met with a lot of resistance in the beginning, huh?
Oh, yeah. People were kind of, are you kidding me? I'm like, no way. But
yeah. Okay.
I can see that, man. Interesting.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
I wonder, just in regular office, well, we talked about it. We were talking about it the other day. He's been spotted. A guy comes to work, and the perception is he's coming to work early, sits in the parking lot for what appears to be like a half hour, an hour,
mm-hmm.
and plays Fortnite on his, we believe it's Fortnite on his mobile phone. And
I thought he had a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, is it a Switch?
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. It could be, yeah.
So at least he's being respectful of work and
right before he goes in.
Let me go to Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Good morning.
Actually, this is Patty, Mark's wife.
Okay.
Mark called me.
Okay.
He put me on because, I don't know, about 8-10 years ago, I took a sledgehammer to our TV.
Oh. Do you want to explain why?
Yeah. It was a really huge TV with a big back to it.
Yeah, like a big Sony Trinitron gigantic television.
Yeah, okay. probably weighed like 300 or 400 pounds.
I know him well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the kids were being very defiant about no TV time and all of that. And I just about had enough of it. And it was a really gaudy TV anyway. So I just wanted to really get it out of the family room, but I couldn't move it. So
okay.
I wheeled in a big trash can. and took a sledgehammer and took it apart piece by piece with the sledgehammer.
Well, when you say take it apart piece by piece, that, well, that almost indicates an intricate sort of disassembly. No, you bash the F out of it.
No, not really. When I say piece by piece went into the trash pan, because I just had to keep hitting it and smashing it and hitting it, and then I had to roll it out. It was so heavy. The kids didn't take it very well, but then, you know, yeah. Eventually, at one point, we got a flat screen to replace it. But yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
But not necessarily.
Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate it. Not necessarily video game oriented.
No, just TV.
But TV.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I can see
it was
that.
Just that whole too much TV thing. But yeah. Yeah, it was kind of the same addiction.
So that was 10 years ago. And how are the kids doing now?
I would say, you know what? They're really not that big a TV watcher.
They're traumatized.
I wonder why. Yeah. They're emotionally scarred. They're too busy. Too busy on opioids.
All right. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate it.
But I can speak on the other side of it. I know that, you know, everybody loves playing these games and kids love it especially, but it infuriates me. I rage out of control when it gets to be too much and he won't put it down. And where I've had to, I mean, since he was little, I have limited it like big time. He does not play video games a lot, and I don't deprive him of it. He does have them and he can play, but I think I get more mad than he does upset when he's got to put it away. You know what I mean?
Do you have set times, and B, do you use that screen time alert on the device?
I don't even know. I don't even know how to hook it up.
You can have it as a parent. You can go in and set an override that will stop it from working.
But so that's we not do like a that. Time limit. I will put like an actual timer, and when it goes off, and he's pretty good with that. When it goes off, he knows, okay, it's time to put it away.
Yeah, I don't think that really matters as far as like developing a game addiction or whatever you want to call it. You can put a timer on it all you want, but that does not.
It limits their time. No, he's got to go do something else now.
It limits the time. However, their desire to play more does not go away simply because the timer goes off.
I would disagree with that.
No, I wouldn't.
He would. He go. Well, at least in my case, I would disagree with that for sure.
Mm. All right, I want to go to Alicia on line 6. Hi, Alicia. Good morning.
Oh my God! Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Alicia?
Yay! So my husband had the brilliant idea of getting a second Xbox for my kids, which I fought him on it. Mm-hmm. They have one in the basement and one, we have like an upstairs living room. We have a weird setup.
Okay.
But they play together and we can hear them screaming at each other from the basement.
So hang on. He bought a separate one so he can play against the kids?
No. So I have two boys, and so one plays in the basement and one plays upstairs, and we can hear them scream because they kill each other or fight each other.
So they yell at each other.
So,
oh my God,
Alicia, do you think it gets away from them a bit? Or does it? Could you see yourself picking up a bat at any point?
Oh my God! So I've actually we call them for dinner, and they're like, "Wait, I just have to finish this round," and it's like 15 minutes later. I've taken their consoles and hid them when they, you know, when they go to school, and then they come home. Well, they're only allowed to play on the weekends too.
All
but
right.
I've literally gone down to the circuit breaker and shut all the power.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Notes. Yeah, I'm like, you're done.
you're killing the circuit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I try to be as cool as I can with it, right? So when I want him to stop playing, I understand he's in the middle of this epic battle. I look at how many people are left in the fight. Okay, Seamus, there's 30 people left. Like, if there's 90 people left, it's like, no, dude, turn it off. You know, it's dinner time. But if there's, like, 30 left and he's got a good chance of, like, making it all the way to the end, I'm like, all right, at the end of this one, you know, it's time to go.
Yeah,
and I've taken the game away from him so many times that, like, I think he understands, dude, I'm going to take this away from you. And so you can either stop playing right now or you're not going to play for the rest of the month, you know? And he's like, okay.
Right.
And so now that kind of plays with his mind. And it's like, dude, if I have to,
one day I will kill you.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you see, you
know, it's happened.
It has happened.
It has happened.
It has happened. But I had to take all of the controllers and I put them in a bag and I told him I brought them to work with me, but I hid them. But it was just one of those deals where I'm like, I can't trust that you're not going to play this when I'm not here. Mm-hmm. So I got to take everything out.
Was there one thing
Was there, I'm trying to think, was there a comparable thing for me growing up that would be of the addictive nature that video games can be?
Probably when you first figured out how to touch yourself.
Spank it?
Yeah.
That was quick.
Because that one,
I just had to hide the towel.
Oh, this thing is awesome.
What about comic books?
You're not that addictive
when you put it down.
Because what happens is nothing had a built-in time. Like you were playing and there was it's like the Netflix when a Netflix show finishes off in 5 seconds it's leading you through and egging you on to continue. I don't know if what besides maybe if there was a movie that my parents wouldn't let me watch or something like that or whatever that was it. But I couldn't. There was nothing that they took away from me.
I'd have to say cocaine.
Cocaine? Was
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty. Preston. All you want is more.
We're going to take away your coke.
Yeah, take away your coke.
Yeah.
That was sixth grade, right?
Yeah.
Sixth or seventh.
I think going outside was that thing. Going outside, like that, if I was getting grounded.
I lived outside. But if letting me inside was the thrill.
If I was getting grounded, I wasn't allowed outside. And now, like, the equivalent of getting grounded right now is not allowing you to do something inside. Now it's like, yeah, like go outside.
If you had to stay in, it was horrible.
It's like a goddamn boomerang.
Yeah. Casey, that's true. It is a reversal. You are hereby remanded.
Go outside.
Outdoors.
And go do things by yourself away from us.
You can't,
no!
You can't come in for 5 hours.
Those words have come out of my mouth. Go outside.
Come out of your room. No!
I've said things, I can't believe it. You know, when we've taken away screens and so on and I get the whole thing. I'm bored. I don't know what to do. You know what comes out of my mouth? Read.
Did I said that? Learn arts and crafts. Get some construction paper and do hand turkeys.
Oh, you read something.
No, you know what I say? Do a science experiment.
Here are some matches.
Read
we got some stuff in the garage.
Hey, how about cracking open the Bible? What the hell am I saying?
I think my little brother is really in for it because his kids are younger than his oldest is younger than my
too young youngest. For coke?
Too young for coke, but not too young for Fortnite. And he literally has them playing. They have three different platforms and they all play at the same time in the same house. I'm like, dude, you are in trouble, man. I mean, he's got
your brother's cooler than you.
Yeah, way cooler. Okay. No, I don't think he's cooler.
I know, I'm kidding.
He wears a leather jacket, and you can see, Preston hits the jukebox with one hand and starts playing music.
Well, he was always more into video games than I was, and he actually was better, way better at video games than I was. So this whole Fortnite thing, he loves it, right? So he plays it on, like, the Switch as the other one's on the Xbox, as the other one is, you know, in the back room on the computer, and they're all playing with each other.
It's pretty cool. Preston, when he leaves the room, he says, smell you later.
Smell you later. By the way, if you're just tuning in, the reason we're talking about this, we know that Fortnite is no new sensation, but Carlos Santana, not the musician, but the former Philly, caught some guys during a game in the locker room playing Fortnite and wigged out. He's a veteran. He's like, you know, this is stupid. He took a bat out and he smashed up the televisions because he wasn't having it. And I could see that's almost like a parent. You know what I mean? That's kind of, they had to have been, you know, younger, and he just wasn't having it as a veteran and a locker room leader. You know what I mean?
It is the frustration. So he's on the other side watching the frustration level and whatever it may be that causes you to take a bat to something out of frustration.
Yeah.
I've had the instance where I'm sure you've broken your share of controllers.
Yeah.
I broke a controller and I snapped Arkham Asylum into 50 pieces.
The actual disc?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Took it out of the thing, crushed it, put it in the garbage, and then I got my car keys, went to GameStop, bought another controller in the exact same game.
My mom would tell my brothers that they were punishing themselves by breaking the controllers because she's like, I'm not going to buy you a new one. And then, you know, after a few months, she would.
I mean, the difference is I'm an adult man at the time I'm doing this. These were kids.
Right. You know, with this Carlos Santana story, though, it was not the first time that he had to confront these guys. And then he just, everything boiled over with a bat. You know, and he went back there and was like, how many times do I have to tell you?
Yeah.
And then smashed the crap out of three TVs.
Preston, it's like when Quinn comes in and smashes the radio in Jaws, and he's like, he's trying to call for help. And
Let me go to, I have a couple more calls I want to hit. I have Tabitha. Hi, Tabitha, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How sorry for bothering you at work.
No, it's all right. What's your story?
So I have a 12-year-old he's in like sixth grade. I think it was last year we started taking every single device. I mean, he has everything that you can think of spoiled.
Right.
And we actually have to put it in a lockbox. Like, I went out and got one of those, like, fireproof lockboxes.
Amazing.
One I could find. And I have to lock it all away.
Yep.
And hide the key in a different spot every single night.
Wow.
Did you ever imagine, Tabitha, that you would have to go to these lengths to keep your kid from playing a video game?
No, because I can't play them.
but you clearly bought them for them, right?
Well, so he is on the spectrum, and it's one of the very few things that he gets enjoyment out of.
Okay.
And so, like, it's his reward to a lot of things, but mm-hmm. if he wakes up in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
he won't go back to sleep. If
yes.
He knows he can go mm-hmm. get something.
Yep. We've had the same thing in our house.
Really?
They'll play till 2-3 o'clock in the morning on the school night, and we've had to take all that stuff and put it away.
What's the look like on your face when you walk into the room?
Thanks, Tabitha.
And you're seeing the flash of the light or wherever they are playing the game, and it's a school night, and it's like 1:30 in the morning.
I'm just severely pissed off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is to it. And then, you know, and then you have to, then you got to say something, and it's just not easy, but, you know.
Did you run out of cocaine?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't I provide?
No, that's how he's still playing.
Work my fingers to the bone to put cocaine on the mirror.
I never, ever would have thought to have stayed up that late on a school night. That's crazy. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, and you're so angry and frustrated and, you know, it's hard to.
I think I need counseling for it.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to go to Carrie, who works at an esports camp and teaches families how to handle it.
There you go. We need some salient advice here.
Carrie, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. All right. Tell us a little bit about what you do, please.
So I work at an esports camp, and we partner with an organization called Nerd Street down in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are esports professionals. They are actually who teaches our kids. And some of the things that we do is teach a kid. So you guys have kids at home who play, and you guys play. And you've thrown controllers, I heard.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Smash it into a million pieces. So one of the lessons that we like to teach them is how to manage that anger. Because our program focuses on professional sports and how you could get into careers in esports. So when you're playing at home, you're playing with your friends, and you can have those outbursts. But if you're looking at professional options and how you could play professionally, you can't have those outbursts. And you have to be able to manage that and learn how to play on a team. So learning how to manage that, and you take those lessons home, you become better able to handle those situations.
Hmm.
So it's life lessons that I think you can take far past esports.
Carrie,
but it definitely has its effects at home.
Let me ask you, do you have classes for kids 50 and above?
More raging parents?
Our programs go from 10 to 18, and they are half-day and full-day options, and you can find information at jkcp.com. They go all summer. But I really think it helps the parents as well. Because, like Kathy was saying, I think it can be really frustrating for the parents as well, because they do, like, they just love it. And kids in this generation, when they find something they love, they just really dive deep into it.
Well,
it's something that's just, they get really passionate.
Honestly, Preston and Carrie, to back up what you're saying, we live in a time that's very Ready Player One-ish.
Yeah.
And it is, never did I think, I remember when the switch flipped for me when we had the first demo Xbox in the Air Studio over Y100 and Halo. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what really got you.
This is like playing a movie.
Yeah.
And I was hooked. And then, you know, and that's part of the deal. Now, since then, my play time has been limited dramatically. But for you, I assume you see, while we're being a little jokey about it, this can be a wedge issue for families.
Well, just like you were reading off the stats and the money that's being made in this industry, it is taking off like no other industry we've seen in a really long time. And while we've seen families that are all in, you know, last year we had, it was a full 2-week esports program. We have other families where the kids are all in, but the parents are like, eh, do I really want to send a kid? And that's all they're going to do for 2 weeks is, you know, esports. So what we've done this year is we've found a really great compromise for families where the kids can play video games for half a day, and we've put it into our enrichment and exploration programs, where then they can spend another half a day doing a sport, a science, photography or art, something else where they're still getting type of enrichment, and it feels more balanced for the parents and the families. And, you know, it's finding that compromise where it's just more balanced.
No, I get you. I have this image in my mind of the future version of humans as they are now, is this, these gelatinous, tiny creatures, but with huge muscular thumbs.
By the way, I see a text here, and I got to disagree with this. This says, telling your kids that they can be pro gamers is a joke. The chances are pretty much zero. Listen, how different is that than athletics? How different is that than athletics? You know, the number of people that make it professionally is minuscule.
Yeah, meanwhile, you got
to
your
people
kids
that want to do it.
Going through camps after camps, like, yeah. You know.
Statistically, what?
You name the sport, and I'll tell you, like, they're all crazier than ever than when you were a
right,
kid.
Right, right.
And I was a kid. I mean, so I agree with you, Brett. So
I think it's similar. I'm not saying that person isn't incorrect.
Right.
The likelihood is very, very slim, but it's no different than encouraging athletics, I think.
Actually,
only you don't get any physical exercise. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not healthy for you.
Yeah. It rots your brain.
But you get to use steroids.
Yeah, you get dumber by the minute.
You get to use coke and steroids.
Not true.
I know, I'm kidding.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Becoming an esports athlete is actually much more accessible because you don't have to have that
ability to walk.
You know, you don't have to have that athletic prowess. Mm-hmm. You could be just the guy next door. You know what I mean?
You still got to have superior hand-eye coordination and instincts and all that stuff. It still takes an elite level to do it.
You know what I think about? I think about Carrie. I think about the guy who was dating Yannette Garcia, the hottest weather girl in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And he broke up with her so he could compete in a video game tournament, and he lost it.
Yeah. I watched the way these guys play Fortnite, and, you know, it's more than just zoning in on somebody and shooting them. You're building things, you're hiding. And when I watch these guys build these structures at the speed that they do it, like, my brain can't even comprehend what they're doing.
Their skills.
Yeah. Hey, Carrie, unfortunately, we got to wrap this up, but people are texting and curious about your program. Can you give us information on how people can reach out to you guys?
I do. And I want to clarify one point. The esports camp, when we're talking about career options, we're not talking about just being a pro gamer. You can do marketing, event. You can become an esports lawyer. You can do analytics. There's so many different careers, and that's what we're really trying to get across.
Physical therapy. So
we're not telling everybody. That's no joke. You need to have hand-eye coordination.
Thumb up, thumb down. Thumb up. Thing.
So visit us at jkcp.com. That's all you need to remember. Come to our website. All the information's there. Or give us a call at 610-264-9401.
Okay.
Our experts will take your call, and we'll take care of you. Guys, thank you so much.
JKCP.com. No problem,
Absolutely.
Carrie.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a great day.
All right, you too. We'll see you. Wow, she's got a very sunny disposition.
Yeah, right?
Was there a device that you could, like a treadmill almost?
There was.
Or like a elliptical machine where
to power your game systems?
Well, yeah.
So yes, there is one. In fact, they were actually selling quite well for a while, a stationary bike.
In Ready Player One in the book, Wade is actually overweight at the beginning, and he eventually sets up a lockout system, Steve, that won't allow him to use the Oasis until he's done X amount of exercise.
Ah, there you go.
He has to do like an hour and a half of cardio before it will even unlock the system. It's like
that's funny.
Yeah, and he ends up losing a lot of weight and getting in great shape because of that. By the way, I just got the VR system for the first time.
Awesome.
And I am now in Ready Player One world.
It's so
crazy.
I was trying to tell people years ago.
I have tried VR before and knew what the experience is like, but the games have come a long way.
So I'm going to lend you the Arkham Batman game.
Okay.
I when I put it on, I was tearing up. I was in the game I played for years, and honestly, But you also get there's a little bit of a chill you get because it's that seductive. Yeah.
We're gonna have to send you guys to JKCP.
I know. Seriously. When they can replicate through that system, you know, like the, when porn. Now they do have VR porn.
They do.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like in the bedroom too.
It's 360. It's the same thing when you put on. You know, you look. But interactivity is the issue. You know, you got to hook your fleshlight up on top of the coffee table. But where's the attachment for this one? But it's getting there.
Yeah. Now, don't hate me. I'm just passing on what I read. All but right. I read that you have to watch with the VR. Kids' eyesights are being affected by it.
Yeah, I was told that when we bought it as well. And then there's a certain age that you got to watch out for.
Oh,
I think
really?
It was like over 12 and over because it can be a little bit. It can make you sick.
You can mitigate
like
that with cocaine.
Okay, fair enough. All comes back to that, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're overlooking
anything
something.
Anything it doesn't solve?
All right. Anyhow, interesting story from the Phillies locker room of last season where Carlos Santana took a bat, not to a ball, but to TV monitors because some team members were playing Fortnite during a game. Whether it's true or not, I do not know. But
he took batting practice.
That's interesting. You know what? Tomorrow's first day of spring, and that means that Rita's Water Ice. Is open, and I believe it's free water ice tomorrow, right? Isn't that the way?
I think that's,
you get
yeah, right?
A free small one.
It is now.
On the first day of spring. But Rita's is back. Flavor's in full bloom, so grab your family and head to Rita's to get your favorite delicious frozen treat. I apologize to those who have been on hold and we haven't had a chance to go to. Bobby, especially you. I know you're on hold for over 20 minutes, but we got to take a break. And I need to take call number 12 and give away a $25 gift certificate for Rita's Water Ice. Thanks to Leslie from the Rita's of Ellisburg Circle in Morristown Mall for bringing by these goodies for us this morning. They brought by a bunch of water ice for us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And I got some B-File stories I think you're going to love. We'll return in just a sec.
93.3 WMMR presents a killer co-headlining summer concert with Rock Trailblazers, Alice Cooper. And Hailstorm. Friday, August 16th at BB&T Pavilion with Motionless in White. No pre-sale happening today at WMMR.com while supplies last. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. Win free tickets all this week with Jackson. Alice Cooper and Hailstorm, August 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
The following phrase I'm about to say is not a secret message to our allied forces, but it's going to sound like one. There is an alligator in the green room.
Yes.
I repeat, there is an alligator in the green room. We're going to meet that alligator. His name is Wally in just a little while.
Word is, it's bigger than we had originally thought.
What Chuck said.
Yes.
Yeah, so I like that.
That's, yeah, I do. That's what I want.
That is good.
I don't want a little gecko.
And he's not like in a cage or anything like that.
He's wearing a suit.
He's just sitting out there on his leash.
All right, we'll get him in here in just a little bit. Let's do the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Delilah's. Delilah's presents 2019 Entertainer of the Year on Wednesday, March 20th, with special guest host Simone Denilustris. And that is going to be, you can get the information at Delilah's.com for more details. That is tomorrow, by the way. I love this story, Steve. You sent this to me. It is a scandal worthy of a Broadway play. Who is the person that has been pooping in New York City audition rooms? Like on the floor.
On the floor.
The mystery has actors on the Great White Way, or maybe the Great Brown Way, stumped. The first incident was reported at Pearl Studios in Midtown Manhattan. During auditions for the musical Magic Mike on February 26, a person involved with the show slipped on the floor.
That's some magic there on the floor.
According to actress Eunice Bay, she told the New York Post she stopped and said, "Oh my God, I just stepped in S." And we all laughed, thinking that she was using a slang version of S to mean general mess, but yeah. Then we all began to smell it. Allie Faye Munca, who also auditioned for a part of Magic Mike, said the first theory was that someone carried it off the street on their shoes, but there is no way that that was plausible given that it looked like a fresh pile. Another pile of feces was left on the floor of an audition room at the Ripley Greer Studio, which is just down the block from Pearl Studios on 8th Avenue. There's one prevailing theory as to the motive behind the poop attacks, and that is a dispute between union and non-union actors.
Oh. Do you know they think who's doing it, Preston?
No.
Patty LuPone.
Oh, no. The Actors Equity Association has been urging Broadway theatergoers to buy tickets to shows that are strictly union productions. The hashtag #AskIfItsEquity has been shared on social media in the hope that union-only plays will be preferred. The Magic Mike's auditions are an open call, meaning that there is it's also open to non-union actors.
And so they believe it's retribution for this.
Yeah, production who use non-union actors pay them about four times less than equity members. This has created friction between the union actors and the non-union actors who say they're being denied opportunities. The union has long disliked the tours of Broadway shows that are quite lucrative for non-union actors.
Have you guys seen this new kids board game where you literally, you wear a blindfold and you walk on a mat and you try not to step in poop?
I want to play this.
Yeah, yeah,
I have it. Oh, you have it?
Yeah, yeah, we have it.
Okay, I thought you said
we got it. No. We have it. We got it. Might have gotten it a couple of years ago.
Real? Okay, yeah.
How
so
is
not
it?
Brand new.
It's
okay. Oh, you're kidding me? They botched that one?
No, it's funny, but after you do it once, you're like, okay, I get it, whatever.
What do you use to approximate poop, or is it a legitimate poop?
No, it's like a rubber thing.
A rubber turd?
It feels squishy when you step on it, so, but... It's fun the first time you play, and then after that, it's kind of stupid. All right, but anyhow, they're trying to figure out who the serial pooper is, and that investigation is underway.
I've performed in Hamlet. I was meant for better.
An Irishman named Elvis Presley has denied brandishing a knife at a laundrette in Blackpool. The defendant, whose full name is Elvis Aaron Presley, pleaded not guilty at Preston Crown Court to threatening...
At Preston Crown Court? It's all coming together, man.
Threatening alleged victim Fayez Ayoub with a folding pocket knife. Mr. Presley confirmed his name after he entered the dock and asked his nationality. He replied, Irish. A second charge...
That's right, man. Top of the morning to you. Now I'm going to cut your throat.
A second charge of assault by beating the same victim during the incident also was put on him. Mr. Presley replied, guilty. I didn't beat him. I punched him.
That's right now. Hook me up with one of them fried Irish potato sandwiches, man.
The defendant appeared hard of hearing and conducted a three-way conversation with the prison officer and the dock, relaying words of the judge and officials to him. The prosecutor said that the pleas entered were not acceptable and there would have to be a trial before a jury. And a charge of having the knife for Mr. Presley.
So. Was Ireland a big location for Elvis? I never associated Elvis with Europe.
Well, if you ever saw The Commitments.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you're right.
There
you go.
One of the fathers was obsessed with Elvis Presley in that movie. So, yeah, he might have been big.
Look out, man. Look at that. Coming at you. See that?
Right,
it's called karate, man. Only two kinds of people know. The Chinese and the king. One of them is me.
A woman visiting her parents' Long Island burial plot descended into more than despair as she sank hip deep into their grave.
Oh!
The ground started to swallow her up. In the real-life horror show, Joanne Cullen bent down to fix a bow on a wreath by the headstone when
they're coming home. Give Daddy a kiss.
When a sinkhole formed and began to swallow her up.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I miss you.
It caused her to fall forward and smash her head on the tombstone, cracking a tooth, her lawyer said.
This is ridiculous. That I'm getting sucked up by the living dead here. I pay the taxes of Suffolk County. I do not need it. It's ridiculous. It's not enough that we have an incredibly high incidence of breast cancer. Now I can't even go to the cemetery that I'm getting sucked up by the living dead. For Christ's sake.
She then... It's a woman who's being dragged
into a grave. It's ridiculous. I go in the morning, I get my nails done, I pick up rolls for Sonny later on. He's doing up a thing at the house. And what do? I say, let me drop off some flowers at the cemetery. Before I know I'm getting sucked down to hell by the living dead. Jesus Christ.
Where's your manager?
I want to talk to your manager. What's your name, Pete? You have an issue out there with the living dead trying to suck people down to hell.
She then tried to bounce.
Ruin my stockings.
She then tried to bounce back, and she started sinking into the ground and grabbed the sides of the tombstone.
Thank God there was a tombstone there.
The stunned Long Island woman...
Had it been an unmarked grave, I'd be dead.
Cried out for... cried out for help, but no one in the graveyard could hear her screams. The calamity occurred at about...
I had throat surgery a while ago. I don't yell loudly.
At about dusk. And she said getting sucked in, or no, the lawyer said getting sucked into your parents' grave when you go visit them with the sun going down is terrifying and traumatizing.
Normally it'd be beautiful.
Now it's the St. Charles Resurrection Cemetery administrator's turn to shiver in fear after being hit by Cullen's $5 million lawsuit in Queens Supreme Court.
Could you imagine that?
Oh, no.
You would clearly think it was a horror movie.
It would terrify me. Yeah. The 64-year-old said the chilling incident has left her an emotional wreck. She said...
was that Creep Show?
Where's my birthday cake?
That's right, yeah.
I want my cake.
Said, I will never go back there again. And she said that she now fears walking in open fields and has nightmares and headaches.
I get headaches now when I even see grass. I get a migraine.
She also needs counseling now, the suit claims. They contend that the grave diggers who backfilled an adjacent grave to Cullen's parents left an underground void, and it caused Cullen to sink into the netherworld. And we'll end it there. That's the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, let's take a break and then come back and meet the gator. What do you guys think?
I want to meet the gator.
All right, we have Wally, the emotional support alligator, here with Joey Henney, who is the owner, and we'll find out about him and Wally. When we get back, stay with us this morning.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
So, we've been waiting for this next guest for a little while.
Casey, even more so.
Yeah. Well, Casey's has always wanted to see... an alligator in the wild in Florida.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah,
in the wild is a key.
We didn't get a chance to have that happen, but we're going to have one in the studio.
Yeah.
And what makes this one unique is the title, Emotional Support Alligator. and our next guest is the owner of that alligator. Came in from York County, PA. Please welcome Joey Henney.
Yeah.
To our show this morning. Hey, Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're doing very, very well. So we have... we have kept your alligator, named Wally, by the way, in our green room. We haven't seen him yet, and that's the reason being is because Chuck D'Amico, our assistant program director, came in and he goes, it's bigger than I thought it was. All right.
Okay, we need to see it on air.
But it's not a big 12-footer. He's a little bit smaller than that.
Well, he's just a baby yet. He'll be 4 in July. He's 5 foot, about 60 pounds.
Okay.
But he's just a toddler.
Okay, just a toddler.
5 feet, 60 pounds.
Have you owned alligators before him?
I have not owned alligators before, but I helped two other rescue squadrons. I've handled alligators for 17 years.
And this one, Wally, is you've had when he was, well, you rescued him about 14 months,
I guess. He was 14 months old when we rescued him. We'll have him 3 years this September.
Okay.
Joey, I was reading a story, it might have been last year, and I think it was out and around the Lancaster area. And the, it might have been the... what department would handle stray animals and so on?
The IRS?
No, not the
Fish
IRS.
Commission.
Oh, there we go.
But anyhow, they were commenting on how they were having to go out and take alligators off of people's hands like almost once a week or something along those lines. And it's because people get them as pets and don't realize, and you've heard this for years.
Oh, yes.
That they outgrow their enclosures or wherever it may be, and people don't know what to do with them. So they let them go in the wild, and they end up having to be found. Does that sound about right?
Well, that's really close to being true. What happens, they go to these reptile shows, and a lot of them get lied to. They tell them that they're only going to grow to the size of their captivity.
Oh, please.
Well, in one aspect, that's true. Wally grew to the size of one tank. Then he put him next one. He grew the size of that. grew the size of the next. Now, it's been 4 tanks for Wally.
Right. And you now have a 300-gallon tank, we hear.
We have a 300-gallon pond in our living room now.
In your living room.
In your living room.
In our living room, yes.
Well, and in this story, I'd read that part of the issue, if that is, but I know you're a responsible owner, is that there are no real rules about owning an alligator. You can just have one.
Not since 1998. They lifted the restriction laws on owning alligators because they come off of a protected list.
Mm-hmm.
Alligators came back from almost extinction pretty fast. There's like 1.5 million overpopulation right now in Louisiana and Florida.
Whoa.
They do have the hunting season open back up. And this is where a lot of people get me mixed up. They say, well, you're against hunting. I am not against hunting. Yeah. I love hunting. I love fishing. But I don't like senseless killing.
Right.
When you get these alligators, you need to study what you have to do. We do not promote having an alligator as a pet. They get big. They take a lot of care. And most people don't want your discarded animals. So that's why our rescue squad, there's three of us in Pennsylvania that I know of.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. They usually end up calling us. Right now in York City, there's over 25 gators as pets. And I simply told them, well, you'll be giving me a call or, you know, or my other two buddies, because they're going to get bigger than what you're going to want to deal with. And if you don't know how to, just like a dog, if you don't train it right, they can be hard to deal with.
In the way that they kill you.
Yeah. Well, they absolutely they could.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they're not trained, not trying to. Their tails are very strong. Wally is very strong. If he wanted to, he could outpower me. But he chooses not to. He's not afraid of nothing. Alligators do not want to bite you on purpose. They do not attack people on purpose.
Are they traditionally, so we hear this and don't know if it's a rumor just to make us feel better, that they would more than likely be afraid of a human? Or
they're extremely afraid of humans. They do not want to be bothered, but they're also curious, very curious. If you're in the water and you're not splashing, they will come up to you and not grab a hold of you.
Now we've heard stories where people have been, you know, this is what they do. They're wild creatures, and there was this horrible story down at Disney, the people that were playing in an area that nabbed a kid. It's what they do. And you know, so we know of it that way. Let me ask you, is your general advice then to most people, to not entertain the notion of having an alligator as a pet?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Alligators in captivity can live up to 80 years.
Okay.
So if you don't have the proper facilities to house these, you're going to have an issue. We just rescued another alligator from a reptile show. Our vet, we have a vet, he's Anticare.
Yeah.
Veterinarian there. He's world known for knowing exotic animals. He has crocodiles and caimans himself that he's rescued. And this alligator, they said that they probably put her in a dark room, fed her hot dogs.
Yeah.
Well, she has metabolic bone disease. She has calcium deficiency. And because of this, she actually ended up with a broken back, a broken leg.
Uh-huh.
And was never treated. So now she's malnutrition, very bad shape. The vet actually wanted to put her down. I didn't want to do that. I want to give her a chance. We're going through therapy with her every day, trying to get her back. But here's an instance where people got an alligator, and this alligator is about 4 to 4.5 years old.
Yeah.
And she's only 40 inches long. Wally's 5 foot. He's 3. Well, he'll be 4 in July.
So you're interceding on their behalf, and because a lot of people, by their ignorance, are then treating these creatures cruelly.
Yes, and I call it willfully being ignorant.
Yeah, willful
ignorance.
Because
you don't study your animals before you get them.
Right.
And you don't go buy a king cobra and not know what to do, because right. You're going to die.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the information's out there. You can find it if you need to.
There is so much information out there for any pet. Now, I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not going to stop people from owning alligators as pets, but...
I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to ask. So we've been using the title emotional support alligator, and I want to explain that. So this doesn't mean that you, Joey, are getting on an airplane and you can't travel unless you got Wally with you sitting in your lap. He's not that kind of emotional support animal.
Not true.
So if you go to, say, kids' schools or maybe an assisted living facility, sometimes groups will bring dogs by and people can interact with them and learn a little bit more about them. It's along those lines, correct?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
The letter I got from my doctor states on there, they cannot refuse me to go on an airplane.
With your alligator?
With Wally?
Seriously?
So you could take him.
But I'm not out there to make waves. I don't want people to be afraid. I'm not taking a 5 foot, 60 foot alligator in a restaurant to board an airplane.
Yeah.
Not everybody's reptile friendly. Not everybody's dog friendly. I would not do that to no one.
You're not a lunatic, okay. You're saying.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But we do go into senior centers and stuff like that there. But let me give you the story how Wally became an emotional
Please.
Support animal.
Yes.
He is the only licensed emotional support alligator in the world.
Okay.
There are only two types of alligators in the world, and that's American alligator and the Chinese alligator.
The only two species.
They're the only two species of alligators. Right. Rest of them are all crocodiles or caimans.
Okay.
When we got Wally, we were already taking him around doing we do educational programs, period, before he became a licensed emotional support alligator. So what happened was we lost probably close to five family members and four lifelong friends within a couple weeks.
Oh, my God.
And the last two passed within like 12 hours. I was visiting one family when my brother called me and asked me, did I hear about my other friend? And I said, well, no, what's up with Barry? And here he went, had a stroke, and he didn't make it to the hospital. And I really went into a really deep depression. I have a wood shop. I build furniture. I'm retired. That's what I do for a hobby. So I had no ambition to get off the couch to do anything. And I'm very energetic. I'm always on the go doing things. So I talked to my doctor. She gave me some antidepressant pills, and she told me, she said, Joe, you really need to take these. I don't like taking medication, period. Hmm. I took one. I hated how it made me. I called her. I said, I'm not taking this
Grab.
Drugs.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's just I'm not me when I'm taking it. So I just hanging around the house, doing nothing, feel like nothing. Wally, he likes climbing up on the couch. He cuddles. He snuggles. He watches TV with us.
I mean, he's snuggling right now. He's literally in the green room sitting on your stepson's chest.
Chris, yes. Oh, yeah. Yep. And he loves to be snuggled. He loves to be petted. He loves kisses.
You said he loves giving hugs.
He does give hugs. And he really gives hugs.
So this helped you through this dark period.
He helped me clean through it. And I went back to the doctor, and she says, how'd you get over your depression so quickly?
I took two alligators.
I hung out with it. Wally was mostly, you know, and then the family, of course, you know, was there. But I was grumpy with the family, but of course you get grumpy with an alligator, he can probably get grumpy and snap you back, right?
Right, right. And so from him, you realized he had this. It's I think what everyone marvels at is that we see this very prehistoric looking animal, and we say, oh, they're incredible, they're fascinating, but this isn't a kitten. This isn't something that just exudes fluffiness and warmness and loveness. It's scary. And you're saying you derive all of that from this, from Wally.
And I did.
Yeah.
And when I talked to my doctor, she said, what got you back on your feet so quick? And I said, well, I guess hanging out with the gator.
Yeah.
And she said, well, she already knows about the alligator. She knows I'm not right in the mind. So, you know, so she said, that's fantastic. You know, I mean, we can get everybody to find something like that to cuddle to get rid of their depressions better than giving them drugs. And, so then somebody said to me about getting registered as an emotional support animal. I said, well, an alligator?
Yeah.
You know, I was just as puzzled as most people are. Hmm. So what happened was we noticed when we go to senior centers and to where children have autistic and Tourette's and Asperger's and stuff, he caters to those people for some reason. We can't figure it out. I'm not even going to try and figure it out.
Mm. Wally is drawn to them?
He is drawn to them.
Do alligators, I believe I've heard that they emit some sort of, like, purr sound? Or is that...
Well, they do, like, a gurgling.
Okay.
They do a bellow. They do a hissing. A lot of people, Wally knows in public he's not open his mouth. He is trained.
Leave the talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is trained. And... he knows if he opens his mouth in public, because people get afraid when they see his teeth.
Yeah.
He gets
shy.
Downtime.
Okay, downtime.
Yeah. And his downtime is his head on my foot. He dare not move. When he sees cameras coming out, he looks for the camera. He poses for cameras. So he knows if he's going to get in trouble, he gets downtime.
Okay.
So he stops what he's doing. So therefore, we're around these people, and these people literally... it's almost like they forget the ailment or the mental issues they have, and they have this total enjoyment and relaxation.
That's
with
great.
Gator.
And the ones that don't, he simply eats, correct?
That's just true. And that's what they say. You know, they asked me, was I ever married? Well, yeah, the first marriage didn't work out, so I put it to the gator, you know. No evidence is good.
Well, I have to say, the excitement's mounting. Should we do this, Preston?
Yeah, let's bring him in.
All right. We got the webcam on.
So, our webcam is on. If you want to see Wally, he's being brought into the...
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
He and is. He really is curled up. What is your stepson's name? What's your name?
Chris.
Chris. He was really kind of curled up over Chris's shoulder. Listen, listen. Joey's talking to him.
Now he's giving a hug.
Oh, my God.
I got to say, that's pretty freaking adorable.
And you're kind of scratching his belly and giving him a kiss.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
How often do you feed him and what do you feed him?
Well, he just started eating. He stopped eating for almost 3 months. Normally from October to May, majority of alligators literally stop eating and they...
For a couple of months, they'll stop eating?
Right.
Like a the way a bear might hibernate and live off its...
Right, but they don't hibernate. What they'll do is they'll like... Go like sort of dormant, but yeah. They're in our living room, so they have their temperatures.
Do they go mostly keto? Is that?
Yeah, well, not quite that much. Yeah.
So, but how do they exist when they're not taking in?
They slow their whole metabolism down.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. It's the same thing. People say they can't exist in our area. They can, is even with frozen water. If they get their nose above the ice, they can freeze.
Preston was talking about
this.
And
they can shut their heartbeat down to 4 beats an hour.
It blew my mind.
They're, and when it falls out, they go right back to normal living.
A quick, just to describe, you're cradling Wally.
Oh, yeah, he's cuddled up on
the way
shoulder.
You would hold a dog, like a larger dog.
Right.
His head is over your shoulder. He has what appears to be like a leash on.
He has a harness on,
Mm-hmm. And he's completely docile.
Oh, yeah.
But he has they're just fascinating.
And beautiful. I mean, it's a gorgeous animal. And
I wanted
to ask you, Joey, about how do you tell? Because if a dog or a cat, you can tell when they're agitated or angry. How can you tell when Wally is upset?
He eats his dog and cat.
When Wally's usually upset, it's usually because I hold. He sees me holding another gator.
He gets jealous?
He gets very jealous.
Wow.
We have a little one we rescued. She's about 19 inches. She was 9 months old. She was 9 months old. And I held her, and she's not the only one. She's done this. He literally, even when I feed him, he'll take his food, turn his back to me, and eat it back in the corner.
He throws a hissy fit.
He has a
tantrum. Or he'll get out of the pond, go run behind the couch, won't let me touch him.
Wow.
He won't get on the couch with me. Or he'll take his lower jaw and flip water at me.
Wow.
Professor,
okay. Go ahead.
So I have a question. I just saw you kind of caressing his belly there a little
bit.
Oh,
yeah. He loves that.
All right. Yeah. So my question is, you know, their skin, especially in the top there, is so coarse, thick, and really, really, you know, solid.
Well, these are bones.
Those are bones?
These are bones underneath their skin on the top and the head, the back, and down the tail.
Okay. I was curious where his, like, sensitive areas might be.
He's just as sensitive on the top.
No kidding.
Throughout his whole body, yes.
I never would have guessed that.
No, neither would I, because it looks like some sort of armature on top.
Yeah. It is an armature plated. It helps protect them in the wild. They are sensitive. They can feel even a drop of water, everything. They have, as you see across his jaws, you can see all the little dots. They're all nerve endings and feelings. So they can sense when they feed in the water, they feed by vibration and shadow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have a second eyelid, which is a clear one.
Right.
So, and that's why people get grabbed when they're walking along the shoreline and they come out of the water and grab, because they're grabbing by vibration. And once they grab a human, they do not. No human's ever been consumed by an alligator in all history.
I've seen a few.
Turn them loose.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
You're watching too much TV.
Preston, have you reported on a few stories of alligators?
Not where they actually eat them.
Yeah.
No, where they swallow them?
No, they do not swallow them.
So you're saying the people are crawling into the alligators to take a nap?
That's about what it is.
What about crocodiles, though?
Crocodiles and caimans, they eat human flesh.
Oh, all right.
And once they get started, they're like a lion or a cat like that. They prefer human flesh. And Vietnam right now is going through trouble. They got one of theirs roughly about 29 feet long, and it's eating a lot of people. So they actually shut their town down.
I saw. Do they have a photograph of this?
They
thing,
do
right?
have it, the it photograph
made
of it.
The services. Yes. Nice. This thing is. It literally is out of Jurassic Park.
What's a caiman? I'm sorry.
Caiman is another type of a crocodile. They're smaller.
But it's
when
in the
alligators
family?
Were protected. Yeah. Pardon?
Okay, it's in the crocodile family.
Yeah, they're all crocodilians. Yes, okay. But a caiman. It's like a lot of people are going out buying these dwarf caimans. When people think dwarf, they're thinking little.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, to a caiman, that's little, and a dwarf caiman can get up to 8 feet.
Okay.
Okay.
Full-size caiman is 16 feet.
It's like buying a dwarf elephant. It's still pretty big.
Right. Yeah. You still got a big animal on your hand. And mean.
So when you have it up next to your head and you're not wearing headphones, can you hear while he's breathing?
Yeah.
And can you feel like the heartbeat against you?
Well, not so much the heartbeat too often. When he gets a little excited and settles down, then you can.
Does he ever roll over on his back or anything like that?
No.
No. Okay.
We'll roll him over and then sometimes rub his belly.
Okay.
Little ones are a little easier. Wally, he thinks we want to wrestle, so then we got to wrestle.
So okay. We know the classic engagement with an alligator is, or at least maybe it's a crocodile that does this. I mean, you're the expert. It rolls.
They all do a death roll when they grab their prey.
And yeah. The alligator would be the same.
Right. What they do, it's either tearing chunks away from their prey to eat it. Like an alligator grab a deer, he would do a death roll, tear a chunk out. But they drag their prey into the water, and a death roll try to drown it.
Right. And you say that the alligators are acquiring the target not by a visual acuity.
When they're in the water. Now, when they're in the water, they can see, like, swimmers.
Yeah.
The splashing is what really draws and sets them into, like, a feeding mode. Then, then they're going to grab whatever's splashing. There's a couple things on YouTube you can get that all. You can pull the pictures up and show where they actually walk in with, they were nuisance alligators. They walk in the pond with them. They've only been in captivity for 4 weeks. They are wild. They've been in the wild over 10 years. These are large 10, 12-foot alligators. And they're not attacking. They'll swim to you. Where are you going, buddy?
By the way, during this entire segment, Wally is just attached to Joey right now. He's just, he loves this position. He's holding him almost like a baby. Okay, now he's
turned around.
Now he's changed positions, and he's facing towards me right now.
May I just hop over there, Preston?
Yeah, go. Please go and see what he feels like.
All the people, and now nobody's petting him, and he's getting he's excited. Getting a little,
yeah, he wants some attention, I guess. So so Steve's going to go in and pet him. Yeah,
Preston, it's exactly the way you would feel to think of this being nerves in here.
Yeah.
With any level, I mean, it's like for Micah, you know, it's like a hard... But that to know that he's able to feel this.
Look how beautiful his eyes are.
Yeah.
You notice how he settled down when he got petted?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at his teeth.
So the side, the belly part where you were scratching over. Yeah, so this feels softer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about feeding him? What do you need to do to feed?
Well, I usually take and put it in my mouth and reach it. No.
Put a dead mouse in
I
there.
Don't even feed. What do you want? Here, go over to Chris.
All right. Hand him off. Now, over.
One quick question, if I may jump in there, as you're going to tell us what he eats and how you feed him. A lot of people like to blame their dogs for farts in the house. Does Wally ever pass gas?
Yeah.
Is it bad?
I tell you what, man, we had, I forgot if it was a Gila monster or a Komodo dragon or something that was brought by the studio. That thing crapped in our studio. My God, did it smell horrible.
It took about a day and a
half.
Yeah.
Is it similar for alligators?
Well, alligators mostly go in the water, but again, Wally's not a typical alligator. He thinks he's a dog.
Yeah.
He got mad at me one day for holding, I think it was Scrappy when he was little.
Scrappy is?
Another alligator, rescue alligator we have.
Scooby-Doo's friend.
Yeah.
Scrappy-Doo. That's where he got his name from, because he was a little scrappy when we first got him. Now, he was hatched in captivity. But Wally literally got out of the pond, walked over in front of me, and we have hardwood floor, and he left it go right there. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? And it smelled like somebody took a bucket of worms, set them out in the sun for 3 days, and then dumped it in the living room.
Yeah.
And it takes days to get rid of the odor.
We have no doubt believing that.
How often do they go to the bathroom? Because if they don't eat all that much.
They usually go somewhat shortly after they're eating.
Okay,
so going back to eating, what do you feed him and how often?
Well, we get frozen chicks and frozen rats from the laboratories.
Okay.
Because they're disease-free, they're chemical-free and everything. So
The way he might encounter an animal in nature.
Right, but they're already dead. Anyhow, as we were feeding them, and then I feed them with, I have tongs I feed them with. It's just like a dog.
Right.
They don't know where the food stops and the hand begins.
Right.
Where
to stop chomping.
Wally, he takes his food very, very gently. Sometimes I have to hold it right beside his mouth. He does not hunt for it.
Dude, I would not do that.
He does not. I mean, I do it with the tongs.
Okay.
Fingers,
yeah.
No.
I would do it. I would pay the guy to hold the tongs and he could do it. So have you ever had an accident while feeding him?
No.
Okay.
How big will he get?
Wally is already bigger than normal, so we're thinking what my friends from down Florida said. He could probably estimate about 15 feet, about 900 pounds.
Oh, my God. 15 feet. Now, let me ask you, at that point, keeping them in your living room tank is not going to be an option, right?
Absolutely. What would you do? Would you argue with a 15-foot gator? I move in a shed. He keeps the house.
All right. So you have a 300-gallon pond in your living room.
Yes.
Is that going to have to get bigger to accommodate a 15-foot alligator?
Oh, absolutely.
I have no
yes.
idea what yes. size that is. Okay.
Yeah, he has to have. They only need enough water for them just to get their whole body covered. That's all the water they need.
So okay. the swimming so for
they don't have to swim.
They don't.
Alligators so are lazy.
Okay.
Yeah. They'd sooner be out sunbathing or
yeah. okay.
just hiding in the grass and stuff. We are, like I said, we're building a facility this summer that will actually house up to 6 alligators.
And
because
these,
we rescue.
These are rescued alligators. So it's like, so, and you can nurse them back to health and all
right.
of that.
Right.
Well, that's very cool.
But we don't, our intentions are never to keep the alligators.
Right.
We rescue
it's
them for
off
a while.
To college and everything.
Yeah,
and...
right. Yeah, I can't afford that in each care.
So what do you do once you rescue them? Where
we
where
take
do
them to
they
the vet,
up?
Make okay. sure they're healthy. That way, because like I say, the last one we got is very unhealthy. It's going to be
right.
probably a long-term recovery for her. So we make sure they're healthy. We make sure they're eating right. We usually keep them for about a year, year and a half, and then we get them to a wildlife refuge park or to a zoo.
Where they're going to be, they're going to have a
that'll
better
be
quality
their permanent
life.
Home.
Okay,
yes.
Well, that's very noble because, yeah. like that first story you described, that one alligator in a horrible way, and you're tending to that one. I hope that turns out well. But to see Wally here, you know, I the concept of a pet of you know, but I'm seeing he's as benign and affectionate. You know, as can possibly be. He's hugging the hell out of both of you.
Yeah, so, Chris, I want to ask you, since you're near the microphone right there, what do you think about all this alligator stuff? Are you into it or what?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, go ahead and get real close here. Go ahead.
Would you like a whole chicken?
But when we first got him,
yeah.
I thought it was a little bit crazy. And then I warmed up to the idea after I got my own. Because we rescued another one, and I started training, learning from him how
okay.
to train him,
right.
and then it just grew on me after that.
Okay.
Do you, right, let so me ask you, do you see, if you look into his eyes, are there moments where you connect, you know? Do you have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Wally does, too, because when he gets antsy and doesn't listen, he gets real antsy around people.
Yeah.
All I have to do is turn his face to me and say, do we have to talk? And he said, because he knows he gets time out after that talk. So.
Oh, wow.
All right, so let me ask, when
I love it.
When you come home, mm-hmm. does like a dog, does he come up and greet you?
He doesn't usually come out of the pond, mm-hmm. but sometimes he'll like little barks like,
Let me ask you.
Or he'll hiss.
I've heard that sound, that on some of the nature shows I've seen, they'll show that. Does he bring you your slippers, but with your feet already in?
Someone else's.
The last set of slippers were made out of chicken feathers, so he thought they were food.
Okay. Well, what about that, since you say he roams freely the house?
Yeah, he does roam freely the house everywhere.
Will he chew on things you don't? I mean, no. If you have issues with a cat scratching a sofa, no. imagine what he could do.
Well, when we get furniture, it has to be alligator-proof because their claws... When they push to go somewhere, they can puncture some holes.
So when you walk into Ashley sure. Furniture and ask for
we just let him test it out.
Okay.
Probably not getting a water bed.
Yeah.
Do you have to be really aware of the temperature in the house? You know, they're cold-blooded and you have
not really. Our house stays right around 74 to 78 degrees.
That's actually pretty toasty.
And that's warm. Warmer than I like for the winter. I
right.
like a little cooler. I'm a cooler person.
Right.
But it's because of the gators. And we do put heaters in our pond, which are better. I said, you really don't need to. Well, we do it anyhow to help keep them on a regular balance. Then that way in the summertime, we have a large porch. The pond goes out, and we have a double slide doors there.
He hangs out on the porch?
They do hang out on the porch.
And he barks at the mailman.
Mailman don't even like coming near us.
What about your neighbors?
Oh, they love him.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah, they love him. Everybody gets to meet Wally and the gators. They just think it's fascinating. They love him.
Oh, I'm sure when people drive by, too, they're like, that's the alligator.
That's the dude.
I bet you your neighbors have no trouble getting their kids to stop playing Fortnite.
Well,
listen, a question for you, Joey. So you take Wally out to schools and so forth.
Right.
Do you guys have a website set up or a Facebook page?
Wally has his own Facebook. It's okay. Wally Gator.
Okay.
You can go in there. It shows all the shows and stuff. I do want to add this. Wally does a lot of first of everything because he was the emotional support alligator license. But Fox 29 Philadelphia had us over there.
Great.
And he was such a big hit there that he actually got to do the weather live.
Oh. Ah, is he getting his own show?
Nice.
Well, probably.
On After Q?
The next one is Steve Harvey. We have in 2 weeks, they're doing a small clip at the end of their show. They can find that on Wally's Facebook, that when it's going to air.
That's wild.
And then they're talking about having this out later in the year.
By the way, Joey used to have a show on ESPN Outdoors, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it was
Joe Henny Outdoors.
Joe Henny Outdoors.
Hunting and fishing.
Ran from 1989 to 2000.
Oh, no way.
So yeah. you've got major fishing chops, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you go for mostly?
I fish for just about everything. We do a lot of catch and release for the smallmouth and largemouth bass.
Okay.
I like stripers and walleye probably the most.
And you were saying it's a hobby, but you're sort of a like a master level craftsman for.
I am a licensed master craftsman.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I build 18th century furniture. Queen Anne chest on chest. Philadelphia High Boys, Chippendale ball claw feet.
That's amazing.
Pie crust tea tables.
You're a veritable Renaissance man.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Also, you do a lot in retirement.
Yeah.
Who retires? I do not like retire. I have not wanted to sit around and do nothing.
Well, you haven't.
What about if people want to get in touch with you?
Oh, they can get in touch with. They can actually get to us through our phone. Phone number 717-577-0874. And they're welcome to call anytime, scheduled to have Wally come see them.
Okay.
We simply just ask for donation. And as far as our donations, we do good at everything else we do. All the donations go to, like right now, we're raising money to go out and see two children that are autistic, and they live in West Virginia, but their mother has stage 4 liver cancer. She's 3.5 hours away in Columbus, Ohio Hospital. She's there for 5 more treatments of chemo. She's been battling this for a while. She's really in pretty bad shape. She had a broken back and a broken neck.
So you're going to get Wally down there?
So we're going to take Wally out because the children already interact with alligators. And it all happened from our newspaper article. And she wrote back online, like, I can really use a hug from Wally because I can't have Connor.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, you're doing great work, Joey. This is really cool.
You're a good man.
Thank you and Chris for both coming by here. It's a really unique story, and this is the only one in the world of its kind right here.
And we met him.
Only emotional support alligator in the world. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for having
us. Continue doing what you're doing. Chris, nice to meet you, too. Let's hear it for Joey, Chris, Wally. Very cool stuff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
By the way, Kath, I saw this stat this morning that parents don't get enough sleep for 6 years after their child is born.
I saw that. Yeah, you have 6 years until you... Fortunately, I've been sleeping, I think, the entire time. Jace has been an excellent sleeper, but I know parents whose kids just... I mean, my nephew is 3, and he just doesn't sleep ever.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely happens, especially right after childbirth, they say, is a really difficult time. So you know what? Skip all that and become a foster parent.
Yeah.
How about that? And that's why our next guest is here this morning. From NBC 10, please welcome Rosemary Connors back to our studio. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing well.
Excellent. So I bring that up because there's an event that is encouraging foster parenting, and you guys at NBC 10 are behind this whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. A foster care phone bank. It's this afternoon on NBC 10 from 4 to 6:30, and then also on our sister station, Telemundo 62, from 5 to 6:30. So if you've ever thought about becoming a foster parent, it's an informational phone bank. Give us a call at 4 o'clock. The phones will go live then. So if you tune into NBC 10, you'll get the number. The mayor is going to be there to talk about the need for foster parents. In Philadelphia, there are 5,000 kids in the foster care system at any given time.
Wow. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. And there's, you know, there's so many potential ways to help them. You know, I'm sure even if becoming a foster parent, it just seems like such a natural thing, such a wonderful thing to help and do that. But there are there other iterations, you know, if you're not going to be a full foster parent, other ways to help the program as well?
Yeah, you said it. So there's something called respite foster parenting. So it's exactly what it sounds like. Let's say you can give a weekend here or there. I mean, you still have to go through the certification, but maybe you're giving a break to the full-time foster care parents. We also interviewed a woman the other day. We'll have her story later on this afternoon, who provides her house to foster care kids during spring and winter break. So kids who may have gone through the foster care program who are now 18 and are in college and need a place to go when they come home.
That's
and,
great. Know,
there's actually, there's something a friend of mine did, like an emergency care. So she would get, like, a lot of times when police would go in and do some sort of drug bust and, you know, arrest all of the people in the house, and then they're stuck with these four kids at 4 o'clock in the morning. Where do they go? So she would always have a bedroom or a few bedrooms open.
That's wonderful.
Then, yeah, they would go there. The kids would stay there until they were able to be placed somewhere. But I get questions all the time about, like, you know, what goes into it. And you know, I've thought about it for so long. I just don't know how to go about it. So this is perfect. You know, if you watch NBC 10 from 4 to 6:30, all you have to do is call the number and they're going to be able to answer any questions. So if you've ever thought about it, now's the perfect time to call and get those questions answered.
That's right. This is in partnership with the Department of Human Services in Philadelphia. So they have a number of experts who are going to be on hand to literally take your questions. Starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon on NBC 10, goes until 6:30.
So, and I have a question actually for you, Kathy, because you did the foster program and then eventually became an adopted parent. Does that happen a lot that you know of in your...
You know what? It's tough to say. It depends on the situation. And a lot of situations can be difficult. And that's part of the advice and information that they'll give you. But you can go into it in a number of different ways. You can go into it knowing that it'll probably just be temporary until, you know, the family gets back on their feet and the child is, you know, can be reunited with their family. Or you can go into something called foster to adopt, where you will get a child who... It will likely go up for adoption. So you can go into it either way.
Because I don't know much about fostering, and I didn't realize that sometimes it's just people who need a hand up, a leg up for the meantime.
Right.
While they try to get their life together to provide a good environment for the kids.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents always did this, which is one of the reasons that I did it. But my parents always did it knowing that the child was only going to stay with us for a short period of time. And, you know, of course, you get attached to these kids, and it can be hard. So you have to be ready for that. And, you know, the kids would stay with us, you know, sometimes just a few weeks, sometimes a few months. And we also did the care where we would have a foster child come into the house for the summer when they were off for school and things like that. Yeah.
So there are, again, so that's cool. So there are different levels of commitment, whether you want to go, you know, full blown or just, you know, in there's something to call about if you're interested, and they can give you all the information.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're talking about 5,000 kids who are in the foster care system in Philadelphia at any given time. So there is a real need out there for people to step up.
By the way, I just jumped almost out of my seat because something grazed against my leg, and I thought, I swear.
I thought the alligator was running around
here. I thought it was the alligator. It was
Dear God!
It was my blanket that fell.
Rosemary, did you see Wally the alligator?
I did. Yeah. Kathy was like, if you don't mind, can you just walk around our friend here? And I'm like, yeah.
But as a TV reporter, I'm sure you see crazy stuff like that all the time, right?
All the time. Things I can't even talk about right now on the radio. Nice.
That's good. No, trust me, we talk about it. Any stories or anything to mention about NBC 10, or are you guys just business as usual?
We got a lot going on. Yeah. Let's see. What time is it right now? It is 9:20. I'm going to be on the air at 11 o'clock this morning. So I anchor our Monday through Friday newscast at 11 with Vaisika Hema.
Okay.
So I'll be on the air, and I got to get out of here in a few minutes.
Yes. All and right. You also do weekends as well, too, occasionally, right?
I used to do weekends.
Yeah.
I just got promoted.
There you
Monday
go.
Through Friday. I know. 5 years of waking up between 2 and 3 on Saturday and Sunday morning.
And you guys are in the new building?
We are. We're in the Comcast Technology Center.
How is that?
It's incredible. It's like literally nothing you can imagine.
What floor?
We are on the 12th floor. That's okay. Where our newsroom is.
That's pretty awesome.
It's great. And and I mean, the amenities in the building. I mean, I take the train into work, so I get right off at Suburban Station. I don't even have to walk outside. It's perfect.
Our buddy Keith Jones is posting photos from the gym with inside that building. And oh, my God.
Anything for Keith to post pictures, you know, working out. Yeah. Kind of
is it open to the public yet? Or?
So there are spaces. The lobby is open to the public. Mm-hmm. Vernick has a coffee bar. That's a little more than a coffee bar, honestly. I mean, you can do lunch. You can do
We've had
late
food
lunch.
Come brought in. It's pretty awesome. Freaking awesome.
Carrot cake. They brought the carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
But the gym is just for employees, and it's on the 44th floor. So the minimal membership fee that it is worth it just for the views.
Yeah. Wow. All right, cool. Well, interesting. All right, once again, the times on the event today.
NBC 10, 4 to 6:30 for this foster care phone bank, and that's when the phones will go live. So watch it for. You'll get the number. Give us a call. Telemundo 62. 5 to 6:30.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate coming by. Rosemary Connors.
Yeah. Hey!
I want to go ahead and take a quick break. We're breaking normal. I got a doctor's appointment today. I got to get to. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a second. We do have the Bizarre File stories on the way in just a little bit, and more chances for you to win some Rita's Water Ice. Don't forget, it's free tomorrow. First day of spring. Oh God, I'm loving that. We'll be right back.
Fresh on the heels of their brand new single, Low High. 5 years since their last studio release. 5 years since they played Philly. WMMR is pleased to welcome the return of the Black Keys. Black Keys, live in concert. October 14th at Wells Fargo Center. Win free tickets all this week with Pierre. All MMR ticket winners qualify for a grand prize concert trip to sunny Sunrise, Florida, and meet the band before the show. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. The Black Keys return this fall indoors at the Big Joint. Complete details and contest rules at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Before we go to the Bizarre File, one little tidbit. I did see this. This is pretty nice. So Sonic, the hamburger joint.
Yes.
They're adding what they call the Oreo Real Ice Cream Cookie Sandwich to their menu.
I did see this.
It is made with two huge Oreo cookies and vanilla ice cream.
How huge are we talking?
That's a great idea. I would imagine they're going to be as big as like a large chocolate chip cookie. And make that into... I've never seen a large Oreo like that before. Have you guys ever?
All right. Compare them to Norma Stitz.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I have seen these.
Wait, they're new.
No. I've seen giant ice cream sandwiches like this.
Oreo? Oreo cookie is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. And right. Oreo and Nutter Butter are in the same family, right? Nabisco?
Nutter Butter?
Yeah.
They did that with Nutter Butters?
Yeah. So there's a place near me that does a... ice cream sandwich, Freddy's Steak Burger. So it is a chain.
Where is this place?
where is said place you speak of?
It is on 320 in Broomall. And they have ice cream sandwiches.
Ice cream.
Wait, Rita's makes this?
Well, then what are we jawing for?
Yeah, because Rita's came here today and double check on that, Marissa.
Oh, my God, they brought him here.
They brought him here?
Then I want him.
When? I didn't know that. This is all new to me. I've blocked all this out.
We're celebrating the water ice today, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in the green room and then they start melting and they end up in the freezer by the time we get off air.
Nah, and then it gets stolen from the freezer. Oh, it's happened before. Trust me.
By the way, you brought up Nutter Butters. Mm-hmm. I forgot about Nutter Butters.
Yeah, they're damn good, aren't they?
As a kid, I went through a phase where that was pretty much all I ate.
And you like ice cream, right? And custard and all. Okay, so you should come over sometime, right?
Okay.
And I'll take you to this place because they have
Mr. Casey here.
all right, so what you're looking at here in the studio is exactly what this other place has.
Okay.
It is delicious.
And apparently Rita's makes these. It says Rita's custard cookie sandwiches. How has this gotten past me?
How do I miss this? I was just saying, by the way, when Rita's was here, listen. I love the water ice. Mm-hmm. I definitely do. Mm. But it's the custard that has my heart.
Well,
now,
I
like the gelati.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
So have you had that? It's the custard and the water ice.
It's very good.
I initially was a naysayer. I was saying nay.
Yeah. Always saying nay.
Nay, nay, nay.
Yeah.
And then I had it, and now that's all that I get when I go.
Do you have a, I mean, because the standard is whenever you go to Aritas, they're going to have cherry, right? That's always going to be on the menu. And so yes. that is my go-to. But if they
Me
have
too.
A raspberry, not a blue raspberry.
But a raspberry.
A regular raspberry, you get a raspberry vanilla gelati.
For me, lemon. Lemon is the standard water ice flavor.
I like cherry so much, I don't know if I've ever had any other flavor. I can't. It's so good.
Not
I can't.
Even lemon?
No.
I like
now,
lemon.
I've had lemon ice before, but not at Rita's. I've never had... Okay. And I've had lemon treats, if you will.
They're delightful.
But I've never had lemon Rita's water ice before.
So may I go back to the Nutter Butter real
you
quick?
May.
I didn't know this until just now, but it was designed by the same person who designed the Oreo cookie.
No kidding.
This guy was a genius.
He was a genius.
William A. Turnier.
Mm.
You know what's designed for both.
What's great about those Nutter custard sandwiches is it's Nutter Butter.
Can I have some of your Nutter custard?
I don't know what a
Can
Nutter
I butter
is.
Your nuts?
It's just a peanut butter flavored cookie.
Yeah, that's all.
Peanut
butter flavored cookie.
Oh, I thought we were talking about an ice cream.
With a peanut butter flavored filling.
Oh. Yeah. So, but they do have like a peanut butter on like the, I don't know if it's peanut butter or if it's like the peanut butter filling as well.
Okay.
But it is.
But it's an ice cream?
It's, so you have the custard.
Yeah.
You have the Nutter Butter cookie and then like peanut butter as well.
Oh my God! I'm gonna gonna
oh my
shoot.
God, so
gonna
good.
Shoot. Gonna shoot. That from
McGriver.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyhow,
I'm gonna shoot.
All right.
Nutter Butters.
We need to use that.
I gotta get that clip. Yeah.
I'm gonna shoot.
Those are delicious.
Oh, you saw? Yeah, you know what we're talking about. Aren't they good?
I love them.
Okay. Anyhow, you know, with all this chat, we should probably go ahead and give away that Rita's Water Ice gift card right now. So we'll take caller number 12 at 215-263 WMMR. First day of spring, and you want to head out to Rita's and get a free cup of their delicious water ice. And for just a small charge, you can add some custard on top.
Ha ha!
So you can almost make it a gelati. It's what it says, almost make it
I
a
never
gelati.
Go to Rita's without not getting, even if I'm getting
custard.
The ices, I'll get the custard.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
You get ices?
I get ices.
No,
yes,
not
I do.
That.
I
not
get Italian ices, or water ices.
No, I think he means ISIS,
the terrorist organization.
The terrorist organization. So, all right, let's do the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, this morning brought to you by McGuff Bus Company. Do you have your New Jersey CDL, and are you looking for a change? McGuff Bus Company offers guaranteed hours, health benefits, and they pay industry top dollar. Visit McGuffBusCompany.com for more information. It's important to remember that it is not really okay for humans to act like wild animals, and six men in England appeared in court recently. The group, who are aged 21 to 27, are accused of stripping naked in a train car, defecating, and then throwing their feces at each other.
You can't do that over there?
Not during a train ride. Some of the passengers got hit with the flying poop. And
that would ruin my commute.
The incident happened in July as the men traveled between Bath Spa Station and Chippenham. And they will be sentenced at a later date.
I've actually been to the Bath Spa Station.
Have you?
Yes.
Was anybody throwing poop around?
No poop. I would have stormed out in a huff.
You were there on a good day. Turned from a nightmare to relief for one Colorado family who heard a crash in the night only to find a furry surprise. The family's guest thought that someone had broken into the Breckenridge home when they heard the sound of broken glass. But when police arrived on the scene, it wasn't a burglary they discovered. It was an adult moose. The moose had been walking outside the house when she fell into a window well early Friday morning. She crashed through the window into the home's basement, waking up the family and their guests inside. The moose did not suffer any major injuries and was able to walk around before finding herself a nice place to rest in one of the rooms of the home.
Kind of looked adorable, though. They would kill you in a second.
Video shows, just look up moose. Video shows.
See that, chocolate.
That the moose made it. There's a moose drop. I wanted Casey to play it, and I don't know if he can find it.
Where is it?
Video shows that the moose made a bit of a mess during her visit, but was calm when Colorado Parks and Wildlife officers arrived at the scene. They tranquilized the moose so that they could move her through the home's tight stairwell. So they ended up getting the moose out of there. All right, never mind.
By the way, in all candor,
Those were elk sound effects.
Oh, those were?
Yes, yeah. They were. I'm sorry if anyone was misled. I did.
That's a moose.
It's a bear. Bear.
It says moose.
It's a war. They're fighting.
I have another moose story. Can you look up Forget About the Moose?
What is that from?
It's from the movie Arthur. It's just a dumb clip.
Yes, probably under Arthur, then.
That says, why don't you forget about the moose?
See moose.
And on occasion, I have a moose story, and I thought it would kind of be funny. And
all right, that's cool.
Why don't you look under...
I got you,
look
bro.
Under Peter Cook.
Okay. Why don't you forget the moose?
Thank you.
For a moment.
All right.
That
would have worked perfectly.
A terrified Russian man has been filmed scaring off a moose.
No. Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
By hurling a cat at the animal. Residents panicked when an inquisitive young wild moose suddenly walked into the Russian city from the forest. The scared animal had lost its mother and went on a rampage, denting cars and charging around children's playgrounds. People tried in vain to scare away the large calf by throwing snowballs and shouting, but as the moose approached one apartment block, watched by a crowd of jeering people, the man suddenly threw his cat at the moose, and the wild animal left. Apparently it worked. There was outrage on social media over the barbaric act. The distraught moose collided with a car as it fled with people chasing it.
Get out of town, moose!
It was later caught, loaded into a vehicle, and driven to the outskirts and then returned.
Ah, ha, ha, pussy moose, run from cat. Why don't you forget the moose?
Of course.
Again. For a moment.
Yes.
All right. It's a clip from Arthur.
Yes, it is.
I recognize movie.
All right. Let's see. I like this story. Achievements mean various things to various people. For example, the town of Fuchstal in Germany.
That's where they have the annual moose hunt.
Accidentally ordered two truckloads of toilet paper in 2006, and it was enough for the entire town of only 4,000 people to use for 12 years.
Wow.
And they just finished it.
What?
May I suggest that they are all bidet users?
An official there says that they were able to save over $1,100 as the price of wood increased after their accidental purchase.
So They can't be heavy waters.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's, you know, if you're...
Yeah.
Oh, heavy water.
Yeah, yeah.
Waters.
Yeah.
The town has already placed the next bulk order of toilet paper, though it didn't order quite as much this time.
Why don't you forget the moose?
Thank you.
For a moment.
I did. Earned its keep, that one.
Well, we had to make it worthwhile all that setup.
Yeah, no, the moose is in every story.
And now one last story. Bucket list items often include traveling someplace beautiful or trying out a crazy hobby, but...
Perhaps seeing a moose in the water.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
But 140... 104-year-old Anne Brokenbow just wanted to be...
How old?
104.
Yeah.
She wanted to be arrested.
I want to be arrested and thrown into a cell with a living moose.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
Living in a nursing home in Bristol, England, she wrote, "My wish is to be arrested. I'm 104, and I've never been on the wrong side of the law.
Last week, they brought an alligator in here. This week, I want a moose."
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
Local police were happy to grant her wish, and she is scheduled to be taken into custody sometime this week. Sometime this week?
Yeah.
The woman's 104, man. Do it now. She needs to get her wish. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. All right, let's take a break. Coming back in a moment, lesson question is on the way, as well as trash and music news. So make sure that you stay close. And also, don't forget today's Tattoos Day. Chance for you to win a tattoo from Philadelphia Eddie's, a Preston and Steve tattoo, $350 worth. Text the word tattoo to 39333, and you just might win. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We are celebrating a Tuesday morning because why the hell not? And you know what we celebrated with? A special little super duper secret thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to Joey on the phone lines and see if he caught it. Hi, Joey. Good morning. Yeah. Why are you calling in, Joey? What do we call that?
Man, I have not heard a secret sounder in forever.
You are correct, my man. Secret Sounder, Joey. We don't advertise it. We just, every once in a great, great while, we'll play some sound effect in the middle of a song on a Tuesday morning, and we'll take the first caller in that picks up on that and give him a prize. And for you, Joey, a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card. How about that?
Awesome. I love it. Just in time, man. Kids excellent. Are going to love that.
All right, buddy. Hang on the line. We'll get your information. Congratulations to you. Don't forget that tomorrow's first day of spring. You can stop by your local Rita's and get a free Water Ice. All of the locations. And thank you to Leslie from Ellisburg Circle and Morristown Mall, locations of Rita's, for coming by this morning and bringing our goodies.
Preston, you were talking about this artist, I believe, off air a little bit earlier on today. But do you know who this is? He used it as winning music from time to time.
And I was talking about this artist today? Well, we mentioned Miley Cyrus earlier. Is that her?
Not Miley. We...
No, I don't. I
this
no
is
idea.
Zac Brown.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Country artist.
Country artist.
Oh, we were talking off air about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, putting it on the air.
Wow.
So does he do some pop? He does some pop music, too?
I guess, you know, he's just a fan of music and okay. just wants to, you know, obviously his core sound is country, but he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do a fun little track here. And, right. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. It's like, you know my daughter's really into is 21 Pilots, and they are texturally kind of all over the map.
They are.
Yep.
They do some rock-flavored stuff. They do some hip-hop type things, straight down the middle pop stuff.
And, yeah.
I think it's cool that she is into that, that you know, mashup of sonic influences.
Exploration.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So, all right, well, thank you for playing it for me. I did not know that was Zac Brown. All right, we're going to... That guy likes it.
It's Zac Brown.
We're going to do today's lesson question and give away a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman at the Met on November 2nd. And the question... Ooh, okay, let's see. Let's see if you're paying attention to this one. A Long Island woman was sucked into a grave in a cemetery. Who is she getting roles for later today? Wow, that's a tough one.
That is a good one, though.
It's a name that Steve threw out there. A Long Island woman was sucked into a grave in a cemetery. Who is she getting roles for later on today? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know that. He was doing a thing at the house. Let's see if you know the answer, and we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by the LLS Big Climb Philly. You can join Nick and Team Luke on April 13th for the LLS Big Climb Philly. Team Luke is going to climb 47 floors to the top of the FMC Tower to help find a cure to cancer. Join Team Luke or donate at BigClimbPhilly.org. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Khloe Kardashian defending Tristan Thompson on social media yesterday, saying that despite his chronic cheating, he is actually a good father. Khloe says the trick is catching him when he's not Apple Watch deep in a stripper.
Oh, my God. Oh!
It's a good description.
Bill Whitfield, a former bodyguard of Michael Jackson's, claiming the King of Pop was sexually attracted to women, saying they talked about women all the time. Whitfield says he contended that the hottest women came from Sweden, while Michael always thought they came from Cub Scout troops.
Oh my God.
And finally, a high school friend of Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, saying she was amazed when Loughlin got into a demanding school like USC. Harlow Brooks says she once saw Olivia have trouble figuring out how to use a cafeteria tray.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. A Long Island woman was sucked into a grave in a cemetery. Who was she getting roles for later on that day? And I'm going to go to Charles. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, who is she getting roles for later that day?
Sunny.
Yeah. Yeah, Charles, hang on. We got a pair of tickets for you to see Mr. Nick Offerman at the Met. November 2nd, tickets go on sale Friday at noon via Ticketmaster.com and TheMetPhilly.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you by Dunkin'. Fuel your day with iced coffee from Dunkin'. Dunkin' now has $2 medium iced coffee all day long. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Slipknot has officially parted ways with percussionist Chris Fain just days after it was reported that he filed a lawsuit against his bandmates in which he claimed that he hasn't been properly compensated for his years of touring and recording with the group. The band said in a statement, Slipknot's focus is on making album number 6 and our upcoming shows around the world, our best ever. Chris knows why he is no longer a part of Slipknot. We're disappointed that he chose to point fingers and manufacture claims rather than doing what was necessary to continue to be a part of Slipknot. We would have preferred he not take the path that he has, but evolution in all things is a necessary part of this life.
You don't bring a lawsuit like that unless you're prepared to be thrown out of the band.
Yeah.
I mean, and they said that he would often cry so much that his metal helmet would rest.
Oh, my God. Poor thing. Fenn claimed in his lawsuit that he had been told that all the band's income was being funneled through one company that split the profits between the group members. But he alleged that he recently discovered the existence of several other Slipknot-related business entities through which other members were collecting more money.
You're saying smaller knots.
Smaller knots.
Yeah. Offshore knots.
Fenn specifically accused band leaders Sean Crahan and Corey Taylor of shady business dealings and demanded a full forensic accounting done on Slipknot's companies and assets so that he could collect the damages and profits he believes he is owed. Taylor addressed the accusations via Twitter on Monday, saying, "Try being wrongfully accused of stealing money from someone you cared about and having a lot of your fans believe it." Fain, known for wearing the Pinocchio-style mask, has been performing with Slipknot since 1998, participated in all the band's albums, so he's been there for a long time.
To be honest, I think that should have been the look of Pinocchio all along.
Well, Metallica will team up with the San Francisco Symphony on September 6th to open the new Chase Center in San Francisco. The Classical Orchestra and Rock and Roll Hall of Famers will be the first acts to perform in the new 18,064-seat arena, which will serve as home to the Golden State Warriors in the fall. The pairing was announced on Monday at a press conference hosted just outside of the venue and attended by Lars Ulrich and James Hetfield, also San Francisco Symphony Music Director Michael Tilson-Thomas, Warriors owner and CEO Joe Jacob, Warriors President and Chief Operating Officer Rick Welts, and San Francisco Mayor London Breed. So it was a big deal. Everybody was there.
That's very cool.
Speaking about what it's like to perform on stage with an orchestra, Hetfield said at the press conference, "There's more people on stage, and there's actually real musicians on stage, and we're a lot more nervous. But it adds to the power. It adds the opportunities for dynamics, for creating moods with the music, bringing people in, walls of sound, all kinds of great opportunities added by having a symphony along with you along for the ride."
I like that guy.
That was a great live album. There was a Hero of the Day cover on there, and it was just really complimented well by the symphony orchestra.
Yep. What other songs?
It was all Metallica songs.
It was
backed by the symphony. Okay. And so it was a rocking symphony performance with Metallica sort of leading them. And they complemented each other really well. And I didn't expect that, but I really enjoyed it.
Tickets go on sale 10 a.m. Friday at ChaseCenter.com. Jack White penned a tribute to Dick Dale following the legendary Surf guitarist's death on Saturday at the age of 81. Like a generation of guitarists before him, White was inspired by Dale's pioneering style. Writing, "I spent many moments learning his massive reverb guitar licks in my bedroom and still enjoy playing his song Nitro whenever I can. Sadly, I never got to meet him. A unique innovator of the guitar with pick-melting style and swagger for miles. I can remember traveling up to Pontiac from Detroit by myself to watch him play when I was 16.
Wow.
That upside-down gold sparkle Fender of his needs to be hung up someplace special. Dick Dale, King of Surf Guitar." Other artists paid tribute to Dale on social media, including Slash, Joe Satriani, drummer Matt Sorum, Brian May, and Stevie Van Zandt.
So he played like Hendrix, upside down, left-handed?
Maybe so.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a picture of him. Yeah, I didn't know he was a lefty, but that's the way he did it, Case. You're right. Blink-182 bassist and singer Mark Hoppus was asked in an interview with Pedestrian about the band's current relationship with former guitarist Tom DeLonge, who left the fold in 2015 to pursue his research into UFOs and the paranormal. Hoppus said, "I think that Tom's really happy doing his thing, and we're happy doing our thing, and there's no hard feelings, there's no animosity or bad blood there. It's just like I said, he's doing his stuff, and we're doing ours." Hop has confirmed that he has not spoken with DeLonge in the last 3 years, adding, "He's dedicated so much of his life to UFOs and so much time and energy researching things and listening to people speak and talking about it himself, that it would seem like a total bummer if he didn't get a chance to fly into outer space and see for himself.
It would be kind of cool if he got. I mean, honestly, he's so passionate about it. If aliens are monitoring this transmission, please see if you can help him out.
Blink is currently recording its eighth studio album.
Are you speaking directly to the aliens?
I am. Okay. I'm assuming that they have the ability to monitor all over the Earth's communications. If we learn nothing from the Sci-Fi Channel, they possess that ability.
Yeah. Remember in Man of Steel, like, Zod's.
I know you can hear me.
Yeah. And he spoke to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. They made it all the way here.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I think they can't hear
us. How are we going to talk to him?
And then one last story.
You got the radios.
Marilyn Manson took to Instagram this weekend to declare that he is nearly finished working on his 11th studio album, which he has been recording at the studio of outlaw country musician Shooter Jennings. The pair previously collaborated on a David Bowie cover in 2016.
I'm Shooter Jennings. Nice to meet you, Mr. Manson.
The follow-up to 2017's Heaven Upside Down is due out later this year, possibly around the time that Manson hits a road Rob Zombie on a new Twins of Evil co-headlining run that begins July 9th in Baltimore. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Oh, it was good.
In music news. We'll take one more break. We're going to come back in a second, get the letter of the day for a very cool trip for Word of the Week prize. And I'll find out what Pierre's going on. We're wrapping just a smidge early. I got to get to a doctor appointment. So, you know, we'll be right back with it. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
I would like to congratulate our winner. Today is Tattoos Day, and we did indeed grab a texter who's going to go get a shiny new Preston and Steve tattoo at Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo, and it is William Gilbo.
Gilbo.
Who is from Burlington City, New Jersey. And William Gilbo.
Gilbo.
Billy Gilbo.
Billy.
Doesn't that sound better?
Yeah.
Name's Billy Gilbo. is going to get this tattoo, and they are located at 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. You can get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Troy Temple, and you can see his work on Instagram at Troy Temple or Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo.com. So congratulations.
You big dildo.
Okay, dildo works too. Yeah, like he didn't get William Dildo growing up.
His whole life.
And now it's on the radio. Yeah. Oh, and his coworkers.
Big dildo.
We have all.
William, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bilbo and Dildo, but you're getting free tattoo.
You're getting a free tattoo. In fact, why don't you get that on there? Why don't you get William Dildo tattooed on you, courtesy of Preston and Steve. Thank you to Rita's Water Ice for being here this morning, and Elise and company who came by to bring us that fantastic display or array, I should say, of various Rita's Water Ices. And don't forget, you get free Rita's Water Ice tomorrow. So stop by any location. You'll be able to do that. Thank you also to Joey Henney, who came by. His stepson, Chris. And Wally, the only emotional support alligator in the world. And it was
licensed.
So cool.
Yes.
It was so cool.
It really was. And you got to hold him. I was ready to do doing a live read.
Yep.
But you were able to hug him. How was that?
It was actually kind of comforting. his nails are a little bit, you know. They're long and they can dig into you a little bit, but the way he contoured to your body, it felt like an awesome, I don't know, pillow or something like that.
When he, though, whipped his tail around, you see how strong that tail is.
Yep, most definitely.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Hey, you're hugging him and then he could just eat you.
Well,
keeping him from eating you?
He wasn't big enough to eat me, but
he could have bitten, listen, but he...
How long was he?
5 feet. Yeah, he weighed about
5 feet, 60 pounds.
That's
like human length.
But a number of a couple of those feet are the tail.
Yeah, the tail, which is real thin at the end. So
okay, but I mean, how big is his jaws and the teeth and all that?
There's a picture of him.
Yeah, the length of his mouth was about this long, Pierre.
Holy blank!
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, well, he's got a nice little bow tie on or something. But I mean, what? But he has
it's
nice
a harness.
Smile.
It's a harness. Yeah.
Oh.
Right. He was very docile, and
yes,
the way Joey, who was a super nice guy, was telling us all about how affectionate he is and his way of communicating, and
could kill you.
It was really cool.
He could bite your head off at any moment
if you had a very tiny head, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was cool to have him in here, and thank you to Rosemary Connors, NBC 10.
Yep.
Today, from 4 to 6:30, they have the Foster Care Phone Bank event that is taking place. So if you're interested in providing foster care, you have any questions at all, make sure you get in touch with them because they can answer all of them for you. Pierre, you ready to get that letter, my man? All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
A, as in antenna.
All right, we're getting closer. We got three more to go. And we have a trip for four to the premiere of WB Shazam on Thursday, March 20th, TLC Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. Shazam hits theaters on April 5th, by the way. You know what you got in store for the program today?
I do indeed. Cool. We'll have we'll have tickets for the Black Keys again. And that puts someone in the running for a trip for two to Florida to meet the band. The Black Keys show is in October. This meet and greet is in November.
It's incredible.
Ways away.
Yeah, it's
the way it goes now. And workforce blocks that include Led Zeppelin and Ghost and Double Shot Tuesday. And you call it double shots for some of those. So it'll be fun.
Excellent. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And Casis doesn't look like the right one.
Oh, wait.
Huh?
My bad. Hang on a second.
I gotta make sure I thank the sponsors. They make the show possible, friends. Here we go. Brought to you by Meineke, America's Choice for Auto Repair. Tomorrow on the program, looking like we're pretty open. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. Tomorrow might be a good day to announce this thing that we're planning over here.
Yes, in fact, we absolutely should do it.
Yeah, so we'll make sure we have something in store that we think is going to be a lot of fun.
A multi-week thing.
Yeah. So we'll get you the details on all those good things. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve, love you, hate you, live.
You know, I already have a bad enough day. Why the hell do I have to get out of my car to move this stupid trash can? Because for some reason you leave it in literally the middle of the driveway. What the
next message.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful Tuesday, and we are here mixing up dirt. I love my job.
Next message.
If you don't want me to pass you, whatever. But don't sit there. Just speed up or let me get in there.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.